ಜಯ ವಿಶ್ವಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಗಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಿಕಿ ಜಯಂ ತಿಲೀಲಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟ ವಿಶ್ವಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಗಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಿಕಿ ಆನಂದಗೋಡಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದಕಿ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಕಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಗುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಗುಂಡ ಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಿಕಿ ವೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಾಯಪುರ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಧುರಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಯಮುನ ಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದಕಿ ಗೋ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬ್ಲಿ ಗೋಡೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬ್ಲಿ ಗೋಡೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬ್ಲಿ ಗೋಡೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವಿನ ಗೌರಾಂಗ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ನಮೋ ವಿಶ್ವಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂದರೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿಧಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಜಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾಣಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಸಂಸಾರ ಸಾಗರೇ ಮಗ್ನಂ ದೀನಂ ಮಾಂ ಕರುಣಾನಿಧೇ ಕರ್ಮಗ್ರಾಹ ಗೃಹೀತಾಂಗಂ ಮಾಂ ಉದ್ಧರ ಭವಾರ್ಣವಾದ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಾಖ್ಯೋಯಂ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಕ್ಷ ಕೃಷ್ಣಮೇವ ಹಿ ಸ್ವೀಕೃತೋಸಿ ಮಯಾ ನಾಥ ಮುಕ್ತ್ಯರ್ಥಂ ಭವ ಸಾಗರೇ ಮನೋರಥೇ ಮದೀಯೋಯಂ ಸಫಲಾ ಸರ್ವದಾ ತ್ವಯಾ ನಿರ್ವಿಘ್ನೇನೈವ ಕರ್ತವ್ಯಂ ದಾಸೋಹಂ ಭವ ಕೇಶವ ಭವೇ ಭವೇ ಯಥಾ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಪದಯೋರ್ಸವ ಜಾಯತೆ ತಥಾ ಕುರುಷ್ವ ದೇವೇಶ ನಾಥಸ್ತ್ವಂ ನೋ ಯದ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವಪಾಪ ಪ್ರಣಾಶನಂ ಪ್ರಣಾಮೋ ದುಃಖ ಶಮನಂ ತಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಂ ಪರಂ ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಯತೋನ್ವಯಾದಿ ದರದಶ್ಚಾರ್ತೇಷ್ವಭಿಜ್ಞಸ್ವರಾನ್ ತೇನೇ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಹೃದಯ ಆದಿಗವಯೇ ಮುಹ್ಯಂತಿ ಯತ್ ಸೂರಯಾ ತೇಜೋ ವಾರಿಮೃದಂ ಯಥಾ ವಿನಿಮಯೋ ಯತ್ರ ತ್ರಿಸರ್ಗೋ ಮೃಷಾ ಧಾಮ್ನಾ ಸ್ವೇನ ಸದಾ ನಿರಸ್ತಕುಹಕಂ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಪರಂ ಧೀಮಹಿ ಧರ್ಮ ಪ್ರೋಜ್ಜಿತ ಗೈದವೋತ್ರಮರಮೋ ನರ್ಮತ್ಸರಾಣಾಂ ಸದಾ ವೇದ್ಯಂ ವಾಸವಮತ್ರ ವಸ್ತು ಶಿವದಂ ತಾವತ್ರಯೋನ್ಮೂಲನಂ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವತೇ ಮಹಾಮುನಿ ಕೃತೇ ಕಿಂ ವಾ ಪರೈರೀಶ್ವರ ಸದ್ಯೋ ಹೃದ್ಯವರುದ್ಯ ದೇತ್ರ ಕೃತಭೀ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷುಭೀ ತಲ್ಕ್ಷಣಾಲ್ ನಿಗಮಕಲ್ಪದರೋರ್ಗಳಿದಂ ಫಲಂ ಶುಗಮುಖಾದಮೃತದ್ರವ ಸಂಯುಧಂ ಪಿಬದ ಭಾಗವತಂ ರಸಮಾಲಯಂ ಮುಹುರಹೋ ರಸಿಗಾ ಭುವಿ ಭಾವುಗಾಃ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದರೂಪಾಯ ವಿಶ್ವೋತ್ಪತ್ಯಾದಿ ಹೇತವೇ ತಾವತ್ರಯ ವಿನಾಶಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಯಂ ನಮಃ ಯಂ ಪ್ರವ್ರಜಂತಂ ಅನುಭೇದಮವೇದಕೃತ್ಯಂ ದ್ವೈವಾಹನೋ ವಿರಹಗಾದರಮಾಜುಹಾವ ಪುತ್ರೇದಿ ತನ್ಮಯತಯತ್ತರವೋಭಿನೇದು ತಂ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಹೃದಯಂ ಮುನಿಮಾನದೋಸ್ಮಿ ಯಸ್ವಾನುಭಾವಂ ಶುಭಿಸಾರಮೇಗಂ ಅಧ್ಯಾತ್ಮದೀಪಮದಿತಿ ದೀರ್ಷದಾಂ ತಮೋಂಧಂ ಸಂಸಾರಿನಾಂ ಕರುಣಯಾಹ ಪುರಾಣಗುಹ್ಯಂ ತಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಸೂನುಭಯಾಮಿ ಗುರುಂ ಮುನೀನಾಂ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವಿಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತದೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇ ಕಮನೀಯ ಕಿಶೋರ ಮುಗ್ಧಮೂರ್ತೇ ಕಲಭೇಣು ಕುಣಿದಾದೃದಾನನೇಂದೋ ಮಮ ವಾಚಿ ವಿಜೃಂಭದಾ ಮುರಾರೇ
మధురిన్న కణికాపి కాపికాపి. నమః ఓం విష్ణు పదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూగలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశం యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవిందపరమానవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజితచక్రశంఖం కౌమోదకీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురదో మమ. మోగం కరోతి వాజాలం పంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన కృతిదాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీ అంబ త్వామనుసంధనామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీ. నమోస్తు వ్యాసవిశాలబుద్ధే కులారవిన్నాయతపత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకబాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వ ఉపనిషదో గావో దుర్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్స సుధీర్ భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతటాజయద్రుతజలా గాంధారనీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమగన దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణనదీ కైవర్తక కేశవా. పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థ గంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యాన గగేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాభూదిదం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహర ప్రేమీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమలం ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూగం కరోతి వాజాలం పంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్ర రుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్ వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్ వేదైర్ సాంగపదైర్ క్రమౌపనిషదైర్ గాయంతియం సామగాః ధ్యానావస్థితగద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యంతియం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. శ్రీ ప్రహ్లాద ఉవాచ బ్రహ్మాదయ సురగణా మునయోధ సిద్ధ సత్వైకదానమదయో వచసాం ప్రవాహే నారాదిదం పురుణైరధునా బిబిప్రో కిం తోష్టుమర్హతి సమే హరిరుగ్రజాదే. మన్యేధనాభి జనరూపతపశ్రుతౌజ తేజ ప్రభావ బల పౌరుష బుద్ధియోగాః നാരാധനായി ഭവന്തി പരസ്യ പുംസോ ഭക്ത്യാതുദോഷ ഭഗവാൻ ഗജയൂഥവായ വിപ്രാദ്വിഷൽ ഗുണയുതാദരവിന്ദനാഭ പാദാരവിന്ദ വിമുഖാക്ഷുഭജം വരിഷ്ഠം മന്യേതദർപ്പിതമനോവചനേഹിതാർത്ഥ പ്രാണം പുനാദി സകുലം നദുഭൂരിമാന നൈവാത്മന പ്രഭുരയം നിജലാഭപൂർണോ മാനം ജനാദ വിദുഷക്കരുണോ വൃണീതേ യദ്യജ്ജനോ ഭഗവതേ വിദധീതമാനം തച്ചാത്മനേ പ്രതിമുഖസ്യ യഥാ മുഖശ്രീ തസ്മാദഹം വിഗത വിക്ലവമീശ്വരസ്യ സർവാത്മനാമഹി ഗൃണാമി യഥാ മനീഷാം നീചോ ജയാ ഗുണവിസർഗമനുപ്രവിഷ്ട പുയേതയേന ഹി പുമാൻ അനുവർണിതേന. We talked yesterday, Naivalpana Prabhurayam Nijalabha Purno, Manam, 11th verse, Manam Jana Davidushak Karano Vranide. Prabhupada is saying that Nijalabha Trishna, Nijalabham, Nijalabha Purnam, he says, Nijalabha Purnam. Why Sri Shuka Brahmarshi says Nijalabha Tushtaha earlier in the Vrishabhadev at the chapter of that chapter? He said Nijalabha Tushtaha. Here Radha says Nijalabha Purnaha. There it is Nijalabha Tushtaha and here it is Nijalabha Purnaha. That Nijalabha means that you have managed to get rid of everything what you are not. What does that mean? You got rid of the body, you got rid of the mind, got rid of the intelligence, got rid of the senses, got rid of the ego. Everything gone away. And what remains? That's your profit, Nijalabha. That's your profit after that. Labha means profit, Nijalabha. And why is it called Nijalabham? Because it is the actual profit. Nothing else is a profit here. When you get yourself back, that's the profit. That's the greatest profit of all, isn't it? Getting yourself back. You got back yourself. We have lost at the moment. We don't know who we are. We are wandering around in different bodies, not knowing who we are. But we have now got him back. That means there is no more body afterwards. That's the benefit. So, it is because of Nijalabham, Nijalabha Purnam or Nijalabha Tushtam, that this personality, Sri Shuka Brahmarshi, who is speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, is Purnam, is complete. Nijalabha Tushtaha, he says. So, he is so happy and blissful. Who? Sri Shuka Brahmarshi is so happy and blissful, which you saw in the Rishabhadeva's history. So, what is that? Nijalabha Tushtaha. The happiness that you get when you get back to your identity. It is an amazing thing what they are saying is that when you get to know who you are and when you lose all these false identities what we have now, that experience, that bliss, that what you feel at that time. And that is what Prahlada is saying here. That a realized soul gets that, comes to that, says. The reason for that is, ultimately, everything has gone, and you have gone and got stuck with the Antaryami inside. Antaryami inside. So, once you have stuck with the Antaryami, then you have Purnam. You have come to the completion. So, if it is like that, if you go and glorify Krishna, the Antaryami inside, is that done with the intention of receiving anything back? Or if we go and glorify Antaryami, Krishna inside, by doing that, is Antaryami going to get anything from that? No, Antaryami is not going to get anything from that. But If we keep on glorifying Antaryami, what will happen is, actually you have to remember, we are actually glorifying our own real identity, who we are. That's what we are glorifying, isn't it? So practically, to our own identity, our own true identity, we are offering our respects. We are offering our respects to our own true identity. So, like you can say that for us, our attachment to ourselves, that you can't take it away. Is it not? Priyam. Priyam to ourselves. That is the highest priyam in this world. Everybody loves themselves. You may say it's selfishness, but that's nothing you can do about it. Our own attachment to ourselves, we all look after our, but because we don't know what our interest is, that's where everything goes wrong. Knowing oneself and taking care of our own interest, so that you cannot move, take it away, because in the Upanishad is saying like that, Atmanastu kamayam sarvam. Atmanastu kamayam sarvam. Everything is for fulfilling the desires of Atma, Atma's need. So, whatever we may say, that is what is called ego also. But that ego, you cannot get rid of that. its name is ego, but he will never go, this ego. His name is ego, but he will never go. Because it is not something that can go. It cannot go. Because only problem is that we have misunderstood that ego. And that is what is causing this problem. Actually, ego is Atma. Ego is Atma. But as long as we are thinking about Atma in the form of ego, therefore we have the problem. Actually it is Atma. But we are thinking about Atma in the form of ego. Like they give this example, Rajasarpam. Rajasarpam is this rope and the snake, isn't it? When you see the snake in the rope, you can't take that snake away from there. Because you can't frighten that snake in that rope. You can't frighten the snake in the rope. But till you know that it is not a snake, but it is a rope, up to that time the snake will be there. Similarly, Ahankaram also, you cannot get rid of that. But if you know what this Ahankaram is, then problem gets solved. Because Jiva is nothing but Atma itself. Jiva is Ahankaram. But that Jiva is Atma himself. So, Ahankaram is considered to be like a small river that is flowing inside, and we feel that there is Ahankaram separately. But if you inquire about that Ahankaram, you will know that there is no river as such. What it's inside there is unlimited ocean, that is, and what they call boundless ocean. And that, in that ocean, we are thinking that this Ahankaram, we think that it is Ahankaram, and we are living in that understanding. So, if you go in a river, eventually the river will take you to the ocean, isn't it? So you don't know where the river begins or where the river ends, because when the river joins the ocean, you don't see the river anymore. It's gone. But somewhere in the middle you get into the river, and the river finally will take you to the ocean. Similarly, Ahankaram, what we say Ahankaram is, it's a expression of the personality. They say the self-expression of the personality. And if you keep that expression of the personality, if you keep it with your body, then you are called a jiva. And if you keep it with your atma, then you are called Antaryami. Called Antaryami. So, when it goes inwards and joins the Antaryami inside, it manifests as the truth itself, as Krishna himself, as the truth itself. So, if you realize it that way, that Ahankaram, when you keep it with your body, it is called a Jiva. When that Ahankaram, if you realize it, it is not joins the body, instead it joins the Alpa Antaryami inside, then you realize that it is nothing but a manifestation of Paramatma or Antaryami inside. And if when you do that, then you are offering the greatest respect to that. Greatest respect to that. That means you have started experiencing yourself. Where do you find this spoken beautifully? In the Ishopanishad. If you look into Ishopanishad, you will see this. When you read the words, you won't understand. But the secret of that verse is this. This is the principle that is spoken in those last two verses in the Ishopanishad. The Ishopanishad, the last two verses. Then, there, the sage, he is glorifying the absolute truth in the 15th verse. See that? Krishi is saying, you are standing there, I am standing here. You are standing there, I am standing here. This is not good. He says, the Rishi is paying respects to the sun and worshipping the sun and says to the sun, outside, when I look at you, you are so effulgent and you are glowing outside in the sky like that. And but that form is not giving me any happiness. That form which is in the sky like that is not giving me any happiness. Forget about that form and then this verse. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya abhidam mukham tatvam pushan apavruno satya dharmaya drishtaye. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya abhidam mukham tatvam pushan apavruno satya dharmaya drishtaye. O my Lord, Rishi is looking at the sun and saying, sustainer of all that lives, your real face is covered by your dazzling effulgence. Kindly remove that covering and exhibit yourself to your pure devotee. That is that verse. So, here you can see that Satya Dharmaya Nishtaye. What does that mean? Show me your pure form, your real form. And what I am seeing outside is not your real form, in the form of the sun. What is your real form? That is the 16th verse. In the next verse. These are all Rishi's verses. Rishis are saying that Pushan Ekarshayama Surya Prajapatya Vyuharashmin Samoha Tejo Ette Vyuvam Kalyanatamam Tate Pashyami Yosavaso Purusha Sohamasmi. What he is saying here is that you and me are not different. The Rishi is looking at the sun and saying these two verses. You and me are not different. Pushan ekarshe yama surya prajapati vyuha asmin samoha tejo. Yatte rubam kalyanatamam tatte pashyami yosav vaso purusha sohamasmi. O my Lord, O primeval philosopher, maintainer of the universe, regulative principle, destination of the pure devotees, well-wisher of the progenitors of the mankind, please remove the effulgence of your transcendental rays so that I can see your form of bliss. You are the eternal supreme Lord, like unto the sun, as am I. You are the eternal supreme personality of Godhead, like unto the sun, as I am. As I am. Saying that. What he's saying, the last verse, you can see, Yosau asau purusha soham asmi. Yosau asau purusha soham asmi. You and me are not different. Purusha soham asmi is one. We are not different. So you can see, Jiva state is like that. In its pure states, he is not different from Antaryami. Exactly the Upanishad words. The two birds, the second bird who eats the fruit and gets suffering in this world, but when he gets purified, he goes and joins the original bird in the tree. There is no two birds, then there is only one. But in the state where he eats the fruit, and then when he becomes Jiva, as soon as he started eating the fruit, he has become Jiva. Then he keeps on eating the fruit. That's our life. Life after changing the body. He remains as two birds. Always you will see in that verse, the other bird is never eating the fruit. He never enjoys anything. He is a witness all the time to everything what this bird is doing. So this bird will keep on eating the fruits life after life, and one day he will come to his senses, and then he will give up eating, and then he gets his pure identity as Atma, goes back and he joins the other bird. So that Upanishad thing, Rishi is speaking to the looking at the sun. That is the Ishopanishad situation. In Ishopanishad, what you saw in the other Upanishad, in Ishopanishad, this Rishi is looking at the sun and saying that you cover, your effulgence is not your real form. Show me your actual form to me. And that form is different than non-different from mine. Yosavasau purusha soham asmi. Purusham soham. Soham means I am that purusha there. So, he say here, you and me are not different. He is saying. So Rishi is saying, you and me are not separate. We are not separate. If you and me exist separately, then I will see God separately. If you and me, I start seeing separately, I'll see God as separate. Isn't it? So, like you can see that when you go into big temples where there's a lot of rush to see the deity, you're standing in the queue for a very long time. Very, very long time you stand in the queue. And finally, after when the queue reaches, when you are there in front of the deity, you hardly get any time there. 1 or 2 seconds, by then you are told to leave from there. Isn't it? But that is the problem with that. That after standing in the queue for so long, when you come in front of the deity, they tell you to go straight away. They get you out from there. Isn't it? So, but when you realize him as your own Swarupam, your own identity, Krishna as your own Antaryami, then you will never lose him. You see that? In Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Narada Maharshi first saw Krishna and then he lost to Krishna. Dhruva Maharaja saw Krishna and then he lost to Krishna. When you realize Krishna is your own Antaryami, you will never lose him. He is there for ever. So, when you are seeing him all the time as the Antaryami inside, you are never going to lose him. That is why this realization is so important. So, when the mind starts working, that is when you lose the presence of Krishna. And similarly, when you are doing deity worship also, even though you are offering flowers and incense and everything, if other thoughts comes into the mind, what happens? You forget the deity, isn't it? Even while doing the deity worship. you are forgetting Krishna. When you, even though you are doing everything physically, but you are actually forgetting Krishna. Because at that time, you are in the mental platform. The mind is something going through the mind, and you go in that way. So, even there you can see, you are not getting that permanent relationship with Krishna. Nitya sambandha. That does not happen. That means, you are separate, I am separate. And that state exists. But that has to go. You are separate and come to this state that there is no division between me and Krishna. Or the, and that state is oneness. Advaita sthiti. Advaita sthiti. That is that oneness state there. And if you know like that, as Krishna is your own antaryami, antaryami inside, that is called nijalabha purnaha. See that? The word nijalabha purnaha, that is what it means. When you start realizing that Krishna is my antaryami, when that realization comes, and I am that antaryami inside, that identification, when it becomes perfect, then it is nijalabha purnaha. Nijalabha purnaha. So, and for that person who has realized it that way, he is not at all affected but by some ajnani, ignorant person outside, if he glorifies him. If he glorifies him. For example, this is important principle. Sometimes when in that, if you have realized the truth, imagine that you have realized who you are. And you have realized that you are pure consciousness, which is nothing different from Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. That stage you have reached, right? You have reached that state of Aham Brahmasmi. Imagine that. I know we are not, but at least imagine that. You are in that state of Aham Brahmasmi. So, at that time, say somebody, some other people who are with you, who don't have that realization, they are seeing your state of realization and they are saying, whatever you say, we should tell the newspaper or the television channels and we should make a publicity out of that. So, so this realized soul, he is saying, no, no, there is no need for all that, he said. There is no need for all that. So, one another person who was in that company, group, he is saying that what is the harm? What's the harm? If you, we all advertise about you, your name and fame in the television and popularity, all these things, everybody likes it, isn't it? So what's the harm in doing that, he said. So, what did he say? He's saying, the realized person is saying, this advertisement, magazines and newspaper and television and all that, if you are presented through them, they will make you small. Actually, your state is much higher than that. If you are realized Aham Brahmasmi, only a person who understands that knows the value of it. But when newspapers and television uses that and starts presenting you in their understanding, actually they are bringing you down. They are not glorifying you. They are showing to the world that you are, they say you are a spiritual personality, realized and all that. But they don't know what that realization means, is it not? So, Upanishad is giving this person a very high position who has realized Aham Brahmasmi, because you have reached the goal of Upanishads at the end. Is it not? That by taking the knowledge of the Upanishads and realizing the truth, Upanishad has recognized your position as the highest realization. If advertisement, newspapers and television comes in and they start talking about you, they don't know how to glorify you. All they know is to glorify you in the way they know about it. They don't have the understanding or the realization. So what will they do? They will minimize you. Whereas your position is much higher than that. So therefore, this person said, I don't want this with the television and newspaper. They don't know anything. They don't understand, because actually they are going to not glorify the realization. Instead, they will make me smaller in that way. I don't want that, he said. So now you see the problem, that when it comes to self-realization, only those who understand it knows the value. Otherwise, people are carried away by all these worldly advertisements and propaganda, and they get victimized by that. They get victimized by that. Spiritually realized soul doesn't need any kind of support from the press or the media. You don't need anything. Who are they? What do they understand? They don't know what self-realization means. So that is why in the Shastram always it will say that great personalities who are self-realized, they don't look up to the ordinary world for recognition. They are recognized by the great rishis and sages and Krishna himself. And that is the recognition they are looking for. They are not looking for recognition from the world. Those who are looking for recognition from the world, they don't understand what spiritual realization means. You see, this is the important principle. That so newspapers, for example, or television or media, what will they do? They will say, oh, he was born on such and such a date, in such and such a place, for these parents, grew up here, and this, that and the other. That means they are limiting you all the time, saying that. But when this realization happens, you are not limited to the place of birth, you are not limited to the parents, you are not limited to the where you have grown up. All that was in that body that has happened. You have left that body long ago and gone to the self-realized state. So who is, are they glorifying you, or are they bringing you down? That is the problem. So press and the media and the television, actually for a self-realized soul, they cannot speak about them. They don't know what to say about them. Because generally that's a system, isn't it? If they see a great personality, what will they say? Oh, he was born in a particular place, wherever it may be. Or he was born in this particular year. Again, all referring to the body. This person has already left the body and gone. So that is why they say that great Mahalmas, they don't want the media. They don't want anything to do with the media. For this reason, that they don't want to be presented to the world, because it's actually a black mark on them, for them. Our glorification in the press and the media is a black mark for them. They don't want that black mark then being spoken about them like that. Although they don't care about it, but what it is that it is wrongly presenting somebody not knowing their real state, isn't it? They are in that realized state where they are seeing that, like Shiva Brahma Shihitam Sarva Bhuda Hridayam Munimanato Osmi, that who is presenting everyone. And you are limiting him to that body, and the body where he is born, where he went to school, whom he got married, how many children he has got, all these things you are keep on propagating in the world. That is a mistake. That is the problem. So you can see their difficulties. And when you do like that, we will define that person in a particular way. You will define him, isn't it? And when you start defining like that, you can see in the world you may have made some propaganda or publicity like that, but that publicity is from ajnanam or avidya. That publicity is coming from ajnani's publicity, that is. Ajnani, ignorant person's publicity. Is it good to have an ignorant person making publicity about you? Better not to have any publicity. But rather, if you have any publicity, it should be publicity from the people who knows what it means, isn't it? So, actually, so therefore, they are not glorifying you. Actually, they are degrading you by their publicity. That's all it is. It's sad. That they are degrading you. It is very sad. So that is why this media and all that spiritually advanced souls, they do not value that anymore. Because it doesn't mean anything. Their way of publicity is such that it pulls you down to their level. Narada Maharshi says to Vedavyas, don't go down to that level. tell them to come up. Not that we go to their level. Narada Maharshi's level, Vedavyasa Maharshi's level, Shubhabrahma Maharshi's level, that's a different level. They do not believe in our so-called media. Oh, like you can see, in this world now, anything happens, immediately there will be four cameramen with their cameras around you like this. It's a funny thing to watch. Anything for that matter, anything happens in this world, you know. And that's the world today. And they think that if you come on the Channel 4 or BBC, oh, BBC is talking about us. Who is this BBC? What does BBC understand about spiritual life? Whereas we want their recognition. So that means the person who wants recognition, he also doesn't know anything about spiritual life, isn't it? That's what it is showing, that. Oh, we are coming to BBC. And we send the link to everyone. Watch this. Look, we are in the BBC. BBC has accepted us. What more do you want? Or Channel 4 is talking about us. This is madness. When you don't have spiritual understanding, that is why spiritual realization means these people who are glorifying you, you should look at them. Who are these people glorifying? What's their understanding about spiritual life? Isn't it? So that is a very important principle. That is why Chandrasekhara Saraswati Swamiji, all the television channels were after him. Never. Never. At his time, he completely kept away from them. He said, either you understand what I am talking about, or you don't throw away all these cameras, he said, and wasting your time like this. If you have time to waste, you do it, whatever you like. But that is not spiritual realization. Whereas in the world, you can see the tendency among the some of the spiritual, the more advertisements, publicity, websites, this, that, everything. What is constantly what they call the web seva, to show the world what a great personality has appeared on this planet, completely on the bodily platform. What is the use? What's the understanding inside? So this is why these verses, look at the rishis, for example. Not one of the rishis spoke about themselves, did they? Not one. Whether you take the long list there, starting from, say, Bharadwaj, Vedavyas, and Atri, Vasishtha, Vishwamitra, if they wanted, they could have written books about themselves and left it for us to read about. Because when you have realized the truth, these identities go away with the bodily identity. And they considered always a low-class thing to do that, to talk about themselves. It's considered to be a low-class thing. There is no need for that. That means you are still very much going back to the body again. After leaving the body identity and coming to the spiritual identity in the realized state, then to talk about another body is considered to be a wrong thing to do. So that is why even in Ishopanishad doesn't even say which rishi has spoken. He says rishi is saying these verses. But when you read the verses, you can see the rishi's heart, how great that rishi's heart is, isn't it? So that is why those two verses, 15 and 16, important. That Pushamekarshe Yamasurya Prajapatya Vyuharasmin Samohatejo Yate Rubam Kalyanatamam Tate Pashyami Yosovaso Purushas Sohamasmi. That last line, Yosovaso Purushas Sohamasmi. Yosovaso Purushas Sohamasmi. You are me. Saying, you are me. I want that realization. Not holding, otherwise there will be a gap between wedge, between you and me, and in that situation Dvaitam will come. So, Yosavaso Purusha Soham Asmi. That's a famous Upanishad statement it is. Yosavaso Purusha Soham Asmi. So, once you realize that, then this kind of publicity and recognition is not required. So that is what. Therefore, So, as I said, that when they make these advertisements and all that, actually they are not glorifying you, instead they are diminishing you or bringing you down from your state. Therefore, if you know yourself who you are, there is nothing wrong. See, if you have realized yourself, what other popularity do you want? Fame do you want from this world? And Upanishads and Vedam is saying to us, the greatest popularity is when you know who you are. That's the greatest popularity. Puranas are all saying this, great sadhus are saying the same thing. And your own popularity is coming out from you, from the real self it's coming out, isn't it? Instead of that, instead of getting that, these little things, they are glorifying. Which one? Where you are born? Which year you are born? Whom did you get married to? How many children you had? Is this any kind of glorifications? No, none of the great Mahalpas realized the souls want any recognition in this world because they know the problem. So, and that is what Prahlada calls in that word manam. See that word? Manam. Manam naivalpana prabhurayam nijalabhapurno manam. Manam means this. Manam, respect. Respect for what? If you want to respect somebody, you should know what you are respecting, isn't it? The press and media has got that problem. They don't know what they have to respect. They will respect in their own way. Their way is this. What is that? Taking a lot of photos and putting it on all the different channels and saying where you are born, and then they will evaluate you also after that. After doing all that, they will evaluate you. And they are waiting to find any fault anywhere in you. And they will glorify that fault afterward. They will first put you up and then pull you down. Straighten down. So Prahlada is saying there that when you give respect to the self, Andaryami inside, that is manam. Manam means that. Instead of giving respect to the body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses and all that, giving directly respect to the self, Andaryami inside, that is called manam. Or knowing the self or realizing the self is called manam. And if one once that comes, this very, very limited and silly recognition from this world, name and fame and glorifications, all the titles, you will never get attracted to any of that thing. Once you get this identification with Andaryami and realizing the self, who you are, in that stage, this recognition from this world, you won't feel any attraction for that. You will think all these ignorant fools, what they are talking about, they don't even know anything. So, those personalities who have reached that state, that they will consider everything in this world very silly and very stupid. And they will be more absorbed in the truth, because they have gone to the spiritual world in that level. Attraction for material world has gone from them. That's the example, Tyagaraja. Tyagaraja's life, if you read, extreme poverty, highest happiness in life, similar to Sudama's state. The difference was, Tyagaraja was a singer, so he was into music. At the time of Tyagaraja, the Maharashtra ruled Tamil Nadu that time. Maharashtra was ruling Tamil Nadu. But they were great patrons of art, culture and Shastram, everything. Shivaji and all that dynasties, their dynasties. So, Sharabhoji, the king who ruled Tamil Nadu, at that time, Sharabhoji Maharaja, the king, he came to know about Tyagaraja's musical talent and his devotion to Ramachandra. He was a great devotee, Ramachandra's devotee. Tyagaraja is another name for Lord Shiva. They have their own temples there, but actually he was a devotee of Ramachandra. Most of the glorifications is about Ramachandra, he wrote. So, this Sharabhoji, King Sharabhoji, who patronized all these great personalities, devotees, jnanis and everybody. So, he invited Tyagaraja to come to the palace. He didn't want to go. He's asking Ramachandra, he's doing worship at deity worship. And he's writing also songs. And he's saying that, is this talking about Ramachandra here, is this the happiness, or going to King Sharabhoji's palace and getting recognition there? What is more important? He's saying to Ramachandra that Rama Sanniti Sukhama, Seva Sukhama. Sukham is it staying in Ramachandra's association and enjoying that bliss? Is that happiness, or you going to the king's palace? And because if you go to the king's palace, the king will honor you with great, great jewelry and expensive things, everything. Mamada bandhana yuta narastuti sukhama, he says. If I go there, I will get glorified, but that is cause of bondage, isn't it? That will create vasana inside me. Is that better, or is Rama seva, sannidhi seva sukhama? So, once I go there, everybody will glorify me. Tyagaraja Swamiji has come, and therefore all the whole assembly and the king, everybody will glorify me. And again the ego will come back to me. So you see how careful they are. They want to maintain and stay in that state without that false ego building up inside. Then he says, if I go there, they'll give you a lot of money. He knows about it. They'll give you a lot of money and jewelry and everything like that. Dadhi navanida kshiraja rujiyo, he says. That means, if I go there, they will offer me first class feast there with yogurt, dadhi navanida butter and ghee, everything, with all that cooked everything in that. It will be a fantastic feast there. Whereas here, what is my life? I go out with a pot when I want some food. And Unchavruti. Unchavruti means they go begging to a few houses. So what they'll do? Some people put a little rice in that. Some people put a dal in that. Everything will be mixed up. Dal, rice, everything. And they won't look at it. They'll hold the pot, and when they come, when the pot is half full or quarter of three quarter small pot, that's all they will take. They won't accept anything more than that. And then they'll come home and cook the whole thing, rice and dal. It'll be different kinds of rice. And sometimes even different kinds of dal. This is Unchavruti. Shilonchavruti, the says in the Bhagavatam. Unchavruti was followed then. Now nobody is doing Unchavruti. Unchavruti is all over now. There was a time people did that. They had this Unchavruti. That is gone. So, he says that I can live like this with this Unchavruti. But if I go there, there will be this big feast. With butter, yogurt, ghee, everything cooked in the ghee. So, and Dasharadi Dhyana Sukham Rasam. Dasharadi is Ramachandra. Remembering Sri Ramachandra and in living in that meditation, that happiness, I won't get it there. What I'm getting here, isn't it? So, he's saying, what is the purpose of music at the end? Swararaga Sudha Rasam Bhakti. Swararaga Sudha Rasam Bhakti. That bhakti can utilize the music. Bhakti can utilize the music. Because Bhakti Devi gets a decoration by all these different arts, music, different playing, different instruments, drama. All this is a decoration for Bhakti Devi. Bhakti's expression that is through all this, is it not? So all these different arts is a decoration for bhakti. Jnanam, knowledge, is Nirvishesha Brahmam. Nirvishesha Brahmam. Jnaneshwar mentions this in the book called Amrutanubhavam. Amrutanubhavam, he says that is mentioning it in this way. That's how he puts it. He says, Shiva is Nirvishesham. Nirvishesham means that he has no decorations. He has no decorations. He's staying like that, without any decorations, Lord Shiva. How Jnaneshwar puts it, he says, Shri Parvati, or Ambal, Shri Parvati, when Shiva, after bathing, and then he is not properly dressed, at that time somebody has come to see Shiva. Come to see Shiva. So, just like a person, when he is in the bathroom, and somebody has come to visit him, the wife hands over the dhoti, everything for him to get dressed, to receive the guest. In a similar way, Nirvishesha Brahman, here addressed as Shiva, he has been decorated by Sri Parvati, and that is this world. This world is a decoration on Shiva by Sri Parvati. That's how they see that. Jnaneshwar mentions this in the Amrutanubhavam. So, Nirvishesha Brahman, he is decorated by Sri Parvati, that is this world, Jagat. So, similarly, all arts are for decorating Krishna. So, Bhakti is accepting everything, all decorations including this world. Bhakti means what? Bhakti means Atma, what we say is Ishvara, himself, Andaryami inside. Bhakti is the name of Ambal or Sri Parvati. If you take Ishvara as Shiva, Sri Parvati or Ambal, she is Bhakti. She is Bhakti. Her name is Bhakti. For example, Krishna's name is Atma. Krishna's name is Atma. Isn't it? Andaryami, Krishna's name. Radha's name is Bhakti. Is it not? Radha's name is Bhakti. Krishna's name is Atma, inside. And that is why she is called as Hladini Shakti. Hladini Shakti. And Krishna's Hladini Shakti is Radharani. Is it not? Bhakti personified is Srimati Radharani. Krishna is the Purusha Ishvara in the heart, as Andaryami. So, therefore, he says that that means that bliss of Andaryami, the bliss, is also experience level, is also Radharani, bliss. We will see like this. Chit Shakti is Radharani, Satya Chitta Anandam. Anandam is also a part of that Chit Shakti. Part of that Chit Shakti. And that is, here this name Prahlada. Prahlada word comes from that. Comes from that. So, Atma is everywhere in everybody. Atma is there. But most of the people do not understand that the manifestation of the Atma, Atma's manifestation, its experience, we do not know. We do not know. So, when you, Atma is everywhere, but we do not know the experience of the manifestation of Atma. We don't know that, isn't it? So, when that anubhavam, experience comes of the manifestation of Atma, at that time you will know what Atma means. When you experience the manifestation of the Atma in a person, then you will know what that experience means. You see that example in Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Isn't it? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in that experience state of an home of Atma inside, you saw how he acted. No, most of those pastimes, particularly in Jagannath Puri, when it happened, nobody understood what was happening. Because of that experience of the Atma inside, he fell into the sea, the fisherman caught him in the net and brought him back. And several other pastimes, when it was not all done with the mind. It was not happening with the mind. It's a manifestation of the Atma inside. Atma is operating at that time. Atma. That means, experience of the Atma within, when that happens, this will be the situation. That because for us now, we only know the experience of the mind, isn't it? What the mind does, mind tells, we have analyzed the mind well, and we go along with the mind whole life. But when we got out of this mind, and when Atma starts working inside, that Atmanubhavam, manifestation of that Atma, and that is the what you find in this Mahatma. That's what makes Mahatma. In Mahatma's life, Atma starts operating, isn't it? So this you will see in all the great devotees, great jnanis, yogis, if you look everyone. And that that experience is called Hladini. Hladini. That is called Hladini. Then Ahladini Shakti. That because in this child's case, our Prahlada's case, because that Hladini Shakti manifested in him from the very beginning, Srinarda Maharshi gave the name to the child as Prahlada. That's how he got the name Prahlada. Because when the child was born, Hiranyakashipu wasn't there, Kayadhu was there. So Narada Maharshi told Kayadhu, we'll call this child as Prahlada. Because Narada Maharshi understood that this child has come in that state of realized state, experiencing the bliss of Atma. Nothing else he knew except the blissful experience of the Antaryami inside. He has come with that, therefore his name is Prahlada. That is how he got the name Prahlada. Now, in other words, they say he is the incarnation of Hladini Shakti. Hladini Shakti. That means that they don't have to do any sadhana. They don't have to do any sadhana. Japam or sadhana, nothing is required. No meditation, dhyanam. They don't need shastram. They don't need to study any shastram. None of them is required. Because from birth itself, it coming with the realization, with this realization. So by the time, at the time of birth itself, in that state of anubhavam of the Atma, and that means this unbroken love for experienced inside for all living beings, with the recognition of Antaryami present in everyone, and that love flowing abundance from inside in abundance. So Atmanubhavam, that is showing the experience of that bliss right from the time of birth, isn't it? So, and it is not affected by anything. Maya is not able to touch. Modes of nature is not able to touch. Nothing can touch that experience inside. So that is why, even though Hiranyakashipu has given so much trouble to Prahlada, he is always in that state, isn't it? It was never disturbed at any point. And that you can see in Prahlada's life. Even though Hiranyakashipu was torturing him, it was not experiencing. Why? Because he is in that state, so nothing was working for him. This is difference between Prahlada and the others. In Prahlada's case, from birth itself, that state, in that realized condition. Normally, other devotees in this world, for example, if you take all the other personalities here, they have to cry, sing, glorify, and they cry in front of Krishna. But Prahlada did not have that problem. Prahlada didn't have that problem. That in this very life, he was in that state from the beginning, and you don't see anywhere Prahlada coming down to pray like that to Krishna. Prahlada didn't come down to our ordinary people's level, but in many other devotees' case, you can see this. They had to go through their life in this world, and when they were making progress at different levels, they prayed, they cried, they sung, glorifying Krishna to get rid of the difficult situations there. So, here, Prahlada is saying that he is already a devotee when he has come. And then what you will notice here is, in Prahlada's prayers, that he is taking the identity of a devotee in this world and he is saying these things. Even though when he was realized in the womb itself, before he came out, and he had all the torture was done to him by Hiranyakashipu, he was not affected. That was his state in the beginning. But then you will see, when you see the prayers later, that he is praying to Narasimhamurti various things. Why is that? That's because he is taking the position of a devotee in this world and then addressing Narasimham for to show to us how to pray to him. He is not in that state. He is already in the other state, because you can see when he came out he was realized, wasn't it? He was already in a blissful state and he was never touched by any of the torture or the problems what Hiranyakashipu was created for him. He stood above all that. Nothing affected him. But still you see in these prayers later that Prahlada comes down to an ordinary person's level and praying for that. That's something interesting. And why does that happen? That is what he's saying here. That they are taking our mood and then praying. Look at the next verse. You can see that. That change in the... in that mood.
Tasmadaham vigada viklava vishwarasya sarvalpanamahigranami yathamanisham nijojaya guna visargamanu pravishta puyedayena hipumananu varnidena sarvehyami vidigara tavasatvadhanyo brahmadayo vayami veshana chodvijanda kshemaya bhudam bhudaya udalma sukhaya chasya vikreditam bhagavato rujiravatarehim.
He is saying there that Prahlada is saying, I am in Maya, he says. Prahlada is saying, I am in Maya, he is saying. All realized soul will speak like that they are in Maya. They will say like that. And there was a famous, and when you read some of their literary work, they would have written so many things in their life what they have experienced. And if you start evaluating them based on that, you will find it very difficult to understand them, isn't it? Sometimes they say that my mind is wandering around all over and it is enjoying the different sense enjoyment in this world, and mind is going towards all kinds of bad things. The mind is going. The devotees are saying, these realized personalities are saying like this. And sometimes when you read that, you may get confusion. You will feel confusion about that. Because you will start thinking that these are great advanced devotees and they are saying like this, that the mind is going to the sense enjoyment, mind is going to the world and things like that. Why is it? You may ask that question. It will come to your mind in a natural way. Isn't it? Even we don't say like that. We don't say that. If you read many of them, Manikavachaka, what he says to Shiva, when you see, read the poems what he has written, it will appear as though Manikavachaka was worse than us. It looks like that. Yes, the mind control is concerned. Control of the mind is concerned. In the same way you will see, even Shankaracharya, Acharya Swamiji, this Shivananda Lahiri, when you read that, the way he is praying to Lord Shiva, it appears as though that he is struggling in his spiritual life more than us. We look more realized and more fixed up, whereas Acharya Swamiji is struggling with his spiritual life. It looks like that. That's the way the verse is coming there. He says there, I become 80 years old, 90 years old, still my mind is not getting attracted to you, and things like that he has written in the songs. Why did he do that? So similarly, there are other personalities also. they're saying that I got married and I so attracted by my wife. One devotee is writing, and I'm all my life I'm wasting like this. I don't know when I will get saved, and things like that. He's saying that. So, and problem is that if you do research into all this Mahatma's life, you will find problem. You won't be able to understand that, because we are measuring them with our understanding of spiritual life. Is it not? That's what we are doing. We are measuring them with our understanding of spiritual life. And we study, read all that books, and then saying that, oh, they were struggling like this, isn't it, in their spiritual life? They were struggling very hard in their spiritual life. So that is why that when we read these verses, Prahlada's verses, you, after a while you will start thinking Prahlada is crying there to Narasimha Murthy, that save me from here, I am in serious trouble from this one. Whereas we are not having that trouble like Prahlada has got. So that you have to, so therefore while looking at Prahlada's story, and also looking at other devotees also, many people have written like that, you will see this problem, that like they will talk as though they are like ordinary people. They will talk like that. Deliberately. They will talk like ordinary people. But they are not ordinary people. That we have to know. Just because they have written like that, don't feel less about them in any way. Because they have done that for our benefit also. You can see in the Shivananda Lahari, Acharya Swamiji's one verse, Prabhustvam dinanam khalu paramabandhu pashupade pramukhyoham tesham apikim uda bandhutvam anayoho toyaiva kshandavyam shiva madhaparadascha sakala prayatna kartavyam madavanam iyam bandhusarani. He's saying, Prabhustvam dinanam khalu paramabandhu pashupade, that I am the most fallen, he says. I am the most fallen. He is saying this. And he is saying to Lord Shiva that khalu paramabandhu pashupade, and you are the one who has the greatest compassion to the fallen people. In showing compassion to others, you are the greatest. And among the fallen, I am the lowest. This is how he is saying to Shiva. He is saying like this. Pramukhyoham tesham abhikim udabandhutvam anayoho. And we have a relationship as well. You have a relationship as well. Toya eva chandavya Shiva. You forgive me for all my weaknesses and all my offenses. He is saying, Tumaiva, Tueiva Chandavyam Shiva Madhaparadham, all my faults, mistakes, what I have done to you. And Chasakalam Prayatnat Kartavyam, I will try my best to rectify myself, but I am incapable. So Madhavanam Yam Bandhu Sarani, at least look to that side and take me out of this difficult situation. I am here. That forgive me for all my, I have transgressed all my, all the standards. And even I am failing in my effort with difficulty. And like this you will see several verses in the Shivananda Lahari. Acharya Swamiji is saying this to Shiva. So similarly you can see here, that when he sada mohadavyam charati, he says, and some places he is saying there that sada mohadavyam charati. Mohadavya means the forest of desires. Moham adavi. Mohadavyam charati. I am in that forest of desires. I am wandering around. He is saying like this. So somebody asked about this to Chandrasekhara Saraswati about this. He said like this, that all these great Mahatmas, they take the form of the persons who are executing spiritual life, and they will sing like that. They come to our level, in other words. That means we are sadhaka, isn't it? We are performing sadhana in spiritual life. They are called sadhaka. Sadhaka means to enjoy, engage in sadhana. So they come to the sadhaka's level, realized souls. They come to sadhaka level and they will sing like this. They come to our level and sing like that. That does not mean that they are in that state and they are having all these problems, what they are saying. For example, when you read these words, he's saying that I am drowning in the forest of, I'm wandering around in the forest of desires. Shankaracharya Swami is saying there. That doesn't mean that. But he is coming into our level and singing that songs. So, because Mahatmas, they have the capacity, they can do things like total materialists. But they have got Sarvatma Bhavam. Remember Sarvatma Bhavam? They know that they are present in everybody. Therefore, they can turn to anyone, anytime. Once you have this Sarvatma Bhavam means that you realize as Antaryami present in everybody. So for them to become a materialist or to become an advanced soul, it's not difficult anymore. Because their Sarvatmatvam is there, present in everyone. In Ramayanam, Valmiki Maharshi has characterized everybody in that way. Sometimes what Valmiki has mentioned in the Ramayana, when you read that, you will get a shock, certain things. Similarly, Vedavyasa Maharshi in the Srimad Mahabharatam, in the same way, he has put so many things that, so many bad things, what's happened in this world, he has spoken in the Mahabharatam without any difficulty. So, not only karmam and jnanam, not only good things, bad things are also spoken in the Ramayanam and Mahabharatam. So, because of that, you may start thinking, oh, why is that Vedavyasa has spoken like this in the Mahabharatam? You are thinking that he is a great sage. How come he has written all these things in the Mahabharatam? There are so many things in the Mahabharatam like that. So, does that mean that all these bad thoughts are in their mind as well? It may appear like that. It is there, everything is inside them, but they are not in anything. That is the difference. Everything what we have all got, they also have, but they are not in that. Things are there in the mind, but they won't get. Everything they know also, but they are not in anything. They are not in anything. For example, when you read Mahabharatam, the kind of things what, especially disrobing the Draupadi, and other things in the Mahabharatam when it is spoken, you may start wondering, Vedavyasa Maharshi is a great sage. How come he could tolerate all these things? And he is writing it like a novel, all these things in the Mahabharatam. And many other incidents as well, where you may possibly think about Vedavyas in a wrong way. And so many things that Vedavyasa Maharshi's birth, and Vedavyasa Maharshi's life in this world, if you look at all that, you will find a certain difficulty, because what's happening is, we are evaluating Vedavyas from our standard, from our position. You know Vedavyas was born from Satyavati Devi, for Parashara Maharshi. Illegitimate child. It was not from marriage in that way. And because of that, but this Vedavyasa Maharshi has given the highest knowledge in this world for the whole human society. Is it not? So, but if you start looking at Vedavyasa in the other way and start thinking, how come he had all this understanding, but looking at his birth, it doesn't look very proper. Because Parashara Maharshi once came, Satyavati Devi was the daughter of a fisherman, and she had to take him to the other side of the river. At that time, Parashara got attracted to Satyavati's beauty, and from that relationship, Vedavyasa was born. So birth is not very, it has come from lust. If you look at it that way, from that angle, Vedavyasa's birth itself is not very auspicious in that sense. And then people will say, how can we accept from Vedavyas any instructions? They say that because Satyavati was a fisherwoman, isn't it? Satyavati comes from the Pitralokam. She's from Pitralokam. Due to a curse, she had to come here. And when she came here, she got birth in the, what is the name mentioned? Uparachari Vasu, or something mentioned there in that Bhagavatam. That as the, she came as a daughter, and because she belonged to the fishermen's community, she used to smell fish. They're used to working with the fish all day, isn't it? So they were not looked by the higher society in a favorable way. It was always critical about them. And Vedavyasa Maharshi was also, others have looked down upon him because of his birth and because of his traditions. He had to tolerate a lot in this world. He had to tolerate. They say that that's why he went to the Himalayas. He couldn't stay in this world anymore. So he went to the Himalayas. So all these kind of things are spoken about Vedavyas. But if you start looking at Vedavyas in that way, you won't understand Vedavyas. The real Vedavyas is who is in the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutram and all. So that sharpness in him, that is what you have to look at. The way he wrote those Vedanta Sutram and Bhagavad Gita and also Mahabharatam and other great literature what he has provided us, isn't it? So why we have to know this is to avoid false criticism of them, of these great souls. And this will happen with everybody. Everybody. This happens. If it can not only happen to Vedavyas, it has happened to Ajarya Swamiji also. They have spoken so many things about him in that way. So, Mahalmas had a hard time in this world. The only thing is that when they write these things, why they are doing that is they can come to any field, in take anybody's role in this world and speak from that. And speak from that. But when they are doing that, they will not stick to that identity. They can play that role and they can come out without being touched by that role, without being touched, without sticking to it. Because they are present in the whole creation. They are present in the whole creation. In the Prakriti, they are present in the whole Prakriti. In the Prakriti, everything is there. You can't avoid anything in the Prakriti. Sarvamasti Chidakoshe, Upanishad says. That means that bag called Chit Shakti, that bag, everything is there, and anything, any time when you want it, vivithaha saivaha prajayande tatra chaivaha. Because everything coming from that bag called Chit Shakti, from there it comes, it stays, it goes back. Good and bad, everything comes from that. So what they have got the capacity is, they can pick up anything what they want from this bag of Chit Shakti, use it and put it back, and they can go in their own way. So that is why Prahlada is saying this. He's saying, that is how you have to see that verse. Tasmad aham. You see there, Prahlada is saying, Tasmad aham, me. He says, Vigada viklavamish, verse 12. Tasmad aham vigada viklavamishvarasya sarvalmana mahi granami yadha manisham. Nijo jaya guna visargam anupravishta puyeda yena hi puman anuvarnidena. Anuvarnidena. He's saying, addressing Narasimham, he's saying to Narasimham that I have given up all my doubts about everything and all other hope, and I have no other shelter anywhere else. He is saying, Vigada Viklava Isharasya. Tasmad Aham Vigada Viklava Isharasya. And Sarvalmana Mahi Granami Yadha Manisham. Yadha Manisham. Vigada Viklavam Ishwarasya means that I have no other shelter. I have no other shelter. You are the only shelter I have. Prahlada is saying, you are the only shelter. One thing you must remember, Prahlada, when he came from the womb, he is realized. He is realized. In a very advanced realized state he is. So why is he saying like this? He is coming to our level, Sathaka's level, and speaking to Narasimham in that way. That Vigata Viklavam Ishwarasya Sarvatmana Mahi Granami Yadha Manisham. That so that mood of Sharanagati, surrender, with that Prahlada is saying here. Prahlada is saying here that I am in that surrendered state. He is saying, Tasma, therefore, I have no other shelter except you. And I cannot take shelter of anybody else. Whom will I take shelter? He is asking here. First thing he says, that there is nobody more powerful than my father in this world. More powerful than my father in this world. But I can't take shelter of my father. Why? He is lying there. You have killed him. Isn't it? Narasimham has killed Hiranyakashipu. He is lying there. And he was the most powerful person in the whole creation. And I can't take shelter of him now because he is lying there. Tasmadaham vigada viklavam ishwarasya sarvalpanamahi granami yatha manisha. Sarvalpanamahi granami yatha manisha. Can I glorify you? Prahlada is asking. Mahi means glories. Your glories, whatever I think in my head, with my brain, I am saying that. Prahlada is saying, I don't know, your glories are so big. My little brain, what can it say? What can it talk about? So when my brain is talking about it, you have to remember this. He says to Narasimham that your glories are so big, but whatever that is coming in my little brain, I'm talking about that. Tasmadaham vigada viklavam ishwarasya sarvalpana mahigranami yatha manisha. My manisha. That then many jnanis and great rishis, they have taken this approach always while glorifying Krishna, that they will say that they will say, great personalities have glorified you. I am also talking some nonsense with my mouth. Please accept that. That is how they will say. Even Vilumangalam, you can see. In Krishna Ramadam, if you look at the last verse, what he said, he says to Krishna, Krishna, you have accepted so many things from the devotees. Vidura's wife offered the banana. The last words. Yeah. No, 107. There is two more verses after that, isn't it? So, 107. The last canto, 107. Ya priti vidurarpide muraribo kundyarpide ya drashi. Whatever Vidura has offered, you have accepted that, isn't it? Kundi arpide yadrashi. What Kundi Devi gave you, the offerings in the forest, they were living in the forest at that time. Krishna went to see them. And what could Kundi Devi offer Krishna in the forest? Some fruits or flowers in the forest. That's what Kundi Devi offered. Then, ya Govardhana Mudhani Yaja Pratuke Sanye Yashoda Prade. That when you have taken that at the time of Govardhanam, form when you took it, that you have accepted, everything was offered in the form of Govardhanam. Krishna himself came as Govardhanam, isn't it? Krishna took the form of Govardhanam and accepted all the offerings of the cowherd boys and the girls. Then, when Chaprutukha means what Sudama has offered. You happily accepted that. You had no problem accepting that. Yaja Pratuke. And then Sanye Yashodarpide. Yashoda Devi gave you the breast milk and you have accepted that. Bharadvaja Samarpide Shabariga Dattayadhare Yoshitam. Bharadvaja Maharshi, when he offered in the forest, all the forest things he offered, what was available in the forest, phalam, roots and fruits and things like that, you have accepted all that. Then Shabari offered what? All the fruits after eating them and tasting. That was Shabari's quality control. Shabari got the fruits and tasted herself to see if they are properly ripe and sweet. And if they were, then she will hand over happily to Ramachandra. You have accepted that. She is saying, Bharadvaja samarpide shabarika dathadhare yoshitam. And gopis, when they had the pastimes with Krishna, when the gopis had the pastimes with Krishna, and that time during Rasa dance, gopis saliva has gone into Krishna's mouth. Krishna has accepted that without any difficult. Dathadhare yoshitam. And then what else? Ya priti munipatni. The brahmanas, when the brahmanas were performing the sacrifices, yajnapatnis, the brahmanas' wives, they cooked prasadam and instead of giving it to the brahmanas, they brought it to give it to Krishna and Balaram. You know that, yajnapatni udharanam in the Bhagavadam, that story. So you have accepted that happily. Bhakti rejide tvayarpidam tvam kuru. That in a similar way you have accepted everybody's offerings in that way. Vilumangalam saying to Krishna, please accept my Krishna Karnamrutam also in the same way. He's saying, accept my Krishna Karnamrutam in the same way. So this approach is there in all the devotees. This approach is there in all the This approach is there in all the devotees. They are saying like that. So so in the Acharamana Mala also Maharshi says the same thing. That he says there, devotees can speak in different ways, but there is love in their heart. Bore melting love. Bore melting love. In other words, what does bhakti does in the heart? Bhakti actually melts everything, melts one's heart. Bhakti melts a person's heart. Imagine a heart like that. Manikyavachaka says this. In the Tiruvachakam he says that your heart should melt. Heart should melt. And he crying there, I do not have a bhakti like that. Manikyavachaka says. That is what Prabhupada is saying here. Tasmadaham vigada viklavam ishwarasyam sarvalpanamahi granam yathamanisham nijo jaya gunavisargam anupravishta puyedayenahi puman anu varnidena. Devotees have said to Krishna, only according to my qualifications I can do my sadhana, is it not? It's no point in thinking that I'll do big sadhana. I don't have the capacity to do that. So here Prahlada is also saying, according to my qualification, my capacity, I will do my sadhana. So for example, we are hearing the stories of all these great personalities who have got very close to Krishna, like Ekanath, or Tukaram, Namadev, or Ramana Maharshi, or many other great souls who have realized the truth and got very close to the reality. But for us, If we sit down to chant Hare Krishna, we fall asleep. Is it not? See that situation. When you hear about all these people, you start wondering what was that state. But for us, if we just sit down to chant the holy name, hardly one or two rounds, you're gone. You're gone from this world. Similarly, if you are sitting in the satsangam, suddenly when you fall asleep, you fall onto the next person, to the body. Isn't it? So, can you blame us for that? Manikavajar is saying all these things to Shiva. Why you are blaming me for this? This is what I am capable of doing. And you are expecting me much higher things from me. How is it possible? Because neither the body nor the mind is listening. I don't want it like that. But body is not listening, the mind is also not listening. When mind is not listening, I fall asleep. The body is not listening, it falls away. Isn't it? So, saying all these things, devotees have cried to Krishna. Saying these things to Krishna. Saying them that their helplessness, in other words. It is a helpless state it is, that in spiritual life, that we can't do what we want. We don't have that strength in us to do it. And even if you sit down and decided to chant, after sleeping very well, still in the mind all other thoughts are coming. All other thoughts are coming. Tukaram mentions this, because Tukaram's songs are very beautiful. He says, when I start chanting, I'm feeling sleepy. Tukaram is saying this. He said, but does not mean that Tukaram was feeling sleepy. He is saying this to show to us how to cry to Krishna with our weaknesses to go to Krishna. Tukaram has gone beyond all these things. But when he is saying this to us, what he is saying to us is how to interact with Krishna in our present state, whatever it is. So, and sometimes he says, how sinful I am. Tukaram talks about himself. When I am sitting for performing meditation, in my meditations, Krishna is no sign of him. So, what shall I do? And that's exactly that attitude, that mood is in those two lines. Nijo jaya guna visargam anupravishtam puyedam enahi puman anuvarnidena. The last two lines. Nijo jaya guna visargam anupravishtam puyeda yenahi puman anuvarnidena. Anuvarnidena. Ajaya means nicho ajaya. Ajaya means maya. Ajaya means maya. What maya has done, maya has put the net and caught me inside that net. And then what did she do? He put me into the prison called material existence, samsara. Maya put the net, caught me in the net. And then she put me into this prison called the samsara, material existence. And I'm lying there. I'm lying there. And how can I? And then why do I say like this? He said that puyena yo puyena yenahi puman anuvarnidena. He said one song. It is famous. Shiva Mahimna Stotram. A devotee called Pushpadanda. He wrote this song. And he's saying there that glorifying you, nothing is happening to me. But except that to purify myself, I don't know any other way, he says. Except to glorify you, I have no other way to purify me, he says. What can I do? Because he says, glorifying you, remembering you, chanting your holy name, I have done all these things. So show me some mercy towards me and get me out from here. Get me out from here. So, there is a, to make this more, little bit more clear, a man, father was very rich person. Father was a rich person. But he had a son who was very dull. Was very dull. So what he wanted to educate him, so it was a bit of a problem because he was not so intelligent. Anyhow, he found a teacher who was very expert in teaching mathematics. So he took him and left him with this teacher so that he could teach mathematics to him. And father was very rich, so he had no problem. He will pay as much as required. Only thing what he wanted was the son should study well and become good in his studies. So he went and left him with the teacher. And after a few months, he came to the teacher. This rich man came to the teacher and asked him, "How is my son doing? How is my son doing?" So the teacher said, "He's studying very well. He's very intelligent," he said. "He's very intelligent and he's studying very well." So the father was very pleased. That's what father wants to hear, isn't it? So father goes, calls him separately. He wanted to test him, because he knew he was very dull before. So he said he will rather ask him how far he has. His teacher is saying he's doing very well, so let me ask him, he thought. So he asked the son, "Son, tell me," he said, "if you add 8 plus 8, how much is it?" he said. He just wanted to test his knowledge of the maths. The son thought for a while, and then he said, 20, he said. Gave an answer of 20. And so the teacher thought, teacher was also, he says, "He's very clever, isn't he?" he says. So teacher said like that. And his father got completely shaken. Something gone wrong with the teacher, he thought. The student is like, anyway, like this. I knew that before. The teacher is also saying like this. He's very clever, isn't it? So the teacher says to the father, "Look at him, how good he is with the mathematics he's done." So the teacher says to the rich man, says to the teacher, "Swami," he says, "Swami, what is this going on?" He said, "I'm asking him 8 plus 8, how much it is. He's saying 20. He's saying, and you are telling me that he's studying very hard and he's not even able to answer this." So the teacher says, "At least he has told you a number, hasn't he? Instead of saying coconut or mango, at least he has answered you as a number. That itself is a great success," he says. So you imagine the teacher's situation. So, and how many days it took for me to make him realize that it is a number? It took so long, he said, but he has come that far. So is that not a success? Says the teacher. So that is the student teachers. So similarly, we have done what we can little bit in this life to please Krishna. And this is all what we have got to offer. With this, we have to pass. So what to do? The only thing you can do is to cry to Krishna. That if you don't show, there's nothing we have credible to show to Krishna. Where is Krishna and where are we? Krishna's position is so high, and our little things, what we have done, little sadhana, little service, little this, little that, what is it? Nothing compared to his position, isn't it? We are laughing, but if like Krishna, like this teacher, it is like this only, like this teacher, that's how Krishna has brought us all and put us in front of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We don't have any qualifications for studying Srimad Bhagavatam. We know that very well, is it not? Bhagavatam is concerned, unless those who have studied Srimad Bhagavatam, after studying the Vedam and Upanishads and the Puranas and the Bhagavad Gita and Brahma Sutram, and those who have come to Bhagavatam after that, they study Bhagavatam in a different way. Not like the way one who has taken Srimad Bhagavatam straight away. We are only good, I think they know that, we are only good for distributing, not for studying the books. So maybe that is why, it is that our state is like that. We are only useful to that extent. And just like he's, like the teacher still appreciated that he said the number he answered. Similarly, we have taken Srimad Bhagavatam in the hand. At least you have taken it in the hand, even if you have not read it, even though we have not understood it. At least for that, Krishna has to show some mercy to us. Similarly, we have chanted the holy name, and even while chanting the holy name, it was all not chanted properly, half asleep, or thinking about millions of things in this world. We have chanted, we were busy in the counting, we are not absorbed in any of the surrender was not there. So you couldn't say any of the sadhana what we have done was up to the mark, whether it is chanting the holy name or reading Srimad Bhagavatam or anything. But still we have to ask Krishna for to show some mercy, kripa, grace to us. So and we haven't got any qualifications to say, but while giving the application to Krishna, this is how you have to put your application. When you put your application to Krishna, you have to mention all these things. You have seen how when you are jobless, when you are want to apply for a new job, you have to write the CV, isn't it? So there's a lot of people will help you how to write the CV. And they will glorify everything. You may have nothing, but they will write the CV in such a way to show that you got everything. Similarly, when we say to Krishna, not with the ego, but you have to say, Krishna, I have done even insignificant things, you have to mention in the CV that you have done such a thing. Similarly, when you say this application to Krishna, you have to say these insignificant things what we have done in our devotional life or spiritual life, whatever that's called. Whatever we have done, we have to mention that. So, and look at that. I have chanted Vishnu Sahasranamam here and there sometimes, and with all mistakes. I have, because I didn't study the thousand names properly, while chanting them, it was full of mistakes. I have addressed you in the wrong way, and opposite meanings had come when I have recited them. But mention that also I've chanted, even though they were wrong. And look at that and then put the mark. And then you add up all the marks. That is what saying here also. You are Prabhustvam Dinanam. You are the Prabhu, you are the master of the fallen people. And all these fallen people, I have the first rank in there. And what is you and me, the relationship? Relationship is, I am the greatest stupid in this world, and you are that master who is capable of improving, changing the most stupid person. You are that person. That is the relationship between Krishna and us. Krishna is the master who is capable of lifting the most stupid person in this world. And we are the number one stupid in this world. Therefore, for my sake, you have to show some grace to us. And it is a competition between my foolishness. It's a competition between my foolishness and your grace. Which one will win? In this way, you have to push it to Krishna, everything. You have to say to Krishna, I am foolish, stupid, idiot, everything I am. And my nature and your grace, between these two, which one will win at the end, isn't it? And I would like to decide it in this lifetime, rather than the next one. So, therefore, only if you show mercy and save me, I will escape. Otherwise, there is no hope here. In this way, to talk to Krishna all the time and cry for that. That is the conversation with the Antaryami inside. He is sitting right inside the heart. But what do we do? When we have problem, we will go and ask everybody else in this world, what I should do, what I shouldn't do. We will go and cry in front of so many other people. Or so many other people go and tell all our problems in this world. But instead of to saying to Krishna, we are situated within the heart. So devotee says, that my distress, whom else should I go and tell except you? Who else is there for me to tell? Please listen to this and tell all your problems to Krishna. He is listening, situated within the heart. So, if you talk to Antaryami inside, whatever you may say, it will go there, a reply will come from there, but normally we go to people, other people. We're thinking that if I say my problem to somebody else, he will give me a reply, verbal reply, isn't it? And that is why we go to other people. We are thinking that if I go and tell Krishna, Krishna won't give me any answer. Therefore, we don't go to Krishna. So we say the deity is not answering, Antaryami is not answering, so what's the point there? But actually, Antaryami answers everybody. Antaryami answers everybody. But that answer will not come in the form of words, but it will come in the form of results. It will come in the form of results. So, unfortunately, we have more faith in the words in the results than the results. But you will notice this, if you have started this relationship with Krishna, talking to Antaryami, you will find that you will never get a reply through words, but instead it will all come through the results. It will all come through the results. So, and it will come in the form of experience, in some form. Antaryami will come, and otherwise it will happen in such a way that within yourself, inside, an explanation will come for that. Why it has happened like that. Two things. One possibility is that the result will come in such a way in your situation that you will understand that Antaryami has taken care of everything. You will be relieved from that anxiety, number one. If not, there will be an explanation to that which will come from Antaryami within yourself. Antaryami will talk to you, answer you that. Isn't it? So, why this has happened? It will say like that. And you will get that clarity or insight within yourself. This is the nature of those who are advancing in the spiritual path. They don't run around in the world looking for a solution. Then what is the point in studying Shastram? What's the point in understanding Krishna's instructions? Krishna is saying to us, he is situated within everyone's heart as Antaryami, and he is there listening, observing everything, and he knows when you are in distress what is happening, why it's happening. He knows why it's happening. So the best person is to talk to him rather than talking to anybody else in this world. Instead of doing that, going and talking to everybody else in this world, what is the benefit? Therefore, Prahlada is saying to Krishna there, purify me. Purify me so that there is no other alternative for that. Puyedayena hipumana nivarnidena. Prahlada is saying, Puyedayena hipumana nivarnidena. Puyena means purify me. He is saying there. So, if you want to purify yourself, anuvarnidena. Anuvarnidena means that you keep on glorifying Krishna. Studi, studi, studi goes on, and you should come out of that. And I have to glorify you for that purpose, Prahlada is saying. Because when you glorify Krishna, what does that mean? You're actually glorifying Antaryami. You're glorifying Antaryami, which is your real self, the real self itself. So that is the way. That is the way. In Vishnu Sahasranamam, Bhishma also says this to Yudhishthira. He also says this to Yudhishthira. So, there are so many deities. Is that not good enough? Glorifying them. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Devan Devayujo Yandi Madbhakta. There is a verse. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Devan Devayajo Yandi Madbhakto. Andavandu bhalam tesham tadbhavati alpamedasam devan devayajo yandi madbhakta yandi mam api. Krishna is saying there, isn't it? Antavandu bhalam tesham tadbhavati alpamedasam devan devayajo yandi madbhakta madbhakta yanti mam api. Yanti mam api. When we discuss Bhagavad Gita, in that verse, we talked about this before, Then why don't worship the other devatas? So many devatas in this world, isn't it? If you worship that person, that form, as a devata, you will go and join that devata. Join that devata. You understand what that verse is saying? That if you worship the form, you will go into that form and join. But if you worship as the absolute truth, Paramatma or Antaryami, Ishwara, Sarveshwara, or Paramatma or Ishwara or Antaryami, one has to learn to worship that in that way. Worship in that way. Rather than worship, because if you go after the forms, Krishna is saying here, Andavantu bhalam tesham tadbhavati alpamethasam. Devan devayijo yanti malbhaktau yanti mam api. What is this malbhakto yanti mam api means? Malbhakto yanti mam api means that you will go back to the Antaryami realization. To the Antaryami stage, you will go back. Because all the devatas are also manifestation of the Antaryami inside. All the devatas are also manifestation of the Antaryami inside. So that is why it is important to know this, to worship the Antaryami as akhandam. Akhandam means unbroken. Unbroken, present in everyone, universally in all the living entities, and able to relate with that. Able to relate with that. Only in that case, like the way Shuka Brahmarshi and many other rishis are, you will come to that state. You will come to that state. Because as long as you are seeing in a particular form, including the spiritual master, if you are seeing the spiritual master as a person, that and spiritual master is seeing you as a disciple in the body, then you are limiting both. You are limiting him, he is limiting you as well. We will limit the guru if you see him in the body, as the body. You are limiting him. Guru is a tattvam. Guru is not the body. You understand that, no? That in the Bhagavadam, Uddhava and Krishna is talking, right? What did Krishna say to Uddhava? Almano guru almaiva. Who is guru? Almana. Antaryami inside is your guru. Almano guru almaiva. Purushasya visheshada. What is his speciality? Pratyakshena anumanabhyam shreyasam anuvindade. Using these two, pratyaksham and anumanam, this guru who has come outside, he will send you back inwards to the Antaryami. Krishna is saying this. So guru is nobody else than Krishna himself. Comes outside in a form, and when the purpose is over, he goes. But if you start misunderstanding that form which has come outside as guru, and start worshipping him, that is a temporary manifestation. The real principle is the Antaryami who has come outside in the form of guru. So, if you start looking at guru and seeing that body as the guru, you have limited the guru's actual position. Guru is not limited. Only thing is, you have to see the guru as akhanda tattvam. Akhanda tattvam means you can't break up. It is one tattvam. Guru tattvam is one. And instead of seeing him a personality who appeared in the history, you should never see him like that, as a personality who appeared in the history. But instead, you have to see him as an unlimited, unbroken vastu from inside, who has come in that form at that particular instance to save you. And after that, that form is gone. That form doesn't exist anymore. That form is finished. So you have to see, this is the way in spiritual side life you relate. You don't relate any otherwise. Otherwise you are relating through the body. But therefore, Guru Tattvam is like that. Alpano Guru Ralpmaiva Purushasya Visheshada Pratyakshena Anumanabhyam Shreyasam Anuvindade. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, that is in the beginning of the 7th chapter itself in the 11th canto, when he starts instructions, first thing. So the first principle to know that Guru is not a form or a body. Guru is nothing but the Antaryami who has come in a particular form at that particular point in time to save you in your life. For that purpose he had come and that form has gone. And Guru Tattvam is one. Guru is one. And then one Guru takes all these different forms as and when it is required. So that is why you will see this. For example, if you look at Acharya Swamiji with his spiritual master, Govinda Bhagavad Pada. Govinda Bhagavad Pada was sitting on the bank of the river, Narmada River. And they have a conversation with each other. How he explains to him. He says, this is not Govinda Bhagavad Pada, the body. Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta Gocharam. He calls himself like that. That Govindam Paramanandam. Sadgurum Pranadosmeham. So who is Guru? Guru is nobody else. That Vedantam says as who Vedantam calls whom? As Brahmam. That Brahmam has come as Guru. Brahmam has come as Guru. Brahmam, Antaryami, all same. Brahmam, Paramatma, Bhagavan, all the same. They have come in the form of Guru and appeared in front of me, he says here. So if you see the difficulty, you can understand this. If you consider Guru as a body and a person, and in that way if you deal with him, all he can do with you, if you look at him in that way, all he can do with you, he will also treat you in the same way, like you are treating him. So that means you will remain as a person in the body, he will also remain as a person in the body. Whereas instead, if you start seeing him as pure consciousness, and manifestation of Antaryami or Brahman, that Tvam Padam, you see that Tat Tvam Asi, the three word, Tat Tvam Asi, that Tvam Padam, that Tvam Padam will become Aham Padam and that will complete that Asi. Asmat Padam will complete it. Tat Tvam Asi. What the spiritual master teaches the disciple, this Tat Tvam Asi. What is he saying to that tattvam and tvam, you are one. That is tattvamasi means. In the 12th canto, 5th chapter, when Parikshit got released from this world, what was the realization? He realized that Antaryami who is inside Shugha Brahma has come here as Shugha Brahmarshi and King Parikshit, they are not different. They are one. They are one, they are not different. So that broken condition has gone away, the pure consciousness he has joined, Parikshit has joined. So that is the reason when Shugha Brahmarshi left Parikshit, he didn't say goodbye. Nor Parikshit asked for anything, didn't say, waved his hand, see you later or anything. Nothing was spoken. Why is it that? Because if you have become that, and if you are one, in your pure consciousness, there is no separation there between anymore. So that is why Tat Tvam Asi, that is Tattvam Asi means. Tattvam Asi means that. So if Aham Padam, if it becomes Akhandam, then Tvam Padam won't be there anymore. Tvam Padam becomes Akhandam. Tvam, when you say Tvam, means you. You. You means you're pointing out to a separated existence. But Tvam Padam becomes Tat. Tat becomes Tat. That means once Akhandam, Tvam Padam Akhandagaram means if he starts seeing the person, Tvam Padam, he starts seeing that personality has gone, means its Ahangaram has gone. Ahangaram has gone. So therefore, always important to see the spiritual master's Akhanda Swarupam. Akhanda Swarupam. Akhanda Swarupam means that it is unbroken. Guru is one. He may be accepting different bodies, different forms, different times, in different situations. But Guru Tattvam is this. Guru is Krishna himself. He is the Krishna himself. So therefore, Guru, when we are worshipping Guru also, should not see the body as important. Instead, that Krishna's grace who come in the form of Guru. That is what we are offering our respect for. That means it's unbroken from Krishna. Remember in the in that verses also Guru Ashtagam, Sakshad Hari, isn't it? That's what we say. Shatahaiti, Asamasta Shastra, Uktastada Bhavyataya Sadhi. Why do we say Sakshat Hari? Somebody mentions that, oh, all these gurus, if I have to see him as Sakshat Hari, how do I? That's a bit difficult, he said. The song is saying like this, but he's not sure. That is his stupidity, because he has not understood the Guru Tattvam. If you understood the Guru Tattvam, you don't have to think like that. Body may be anything, you may get any body anywhere in this world, who knows. Sakshat Hari is, Tattvam is correct. But in life in this world, I don't know that. This is up to the person to make that judgment. If you feel somebody is your guru, you are a guru. If not. But the fact is this, Krishna is saying that guru is Atma. Atmano guru Atmayo Purushasya Visheshada. So to see everything not broken, akhandam, not khandam, akhandam, not broken, that vidya, that technique, is Upanishadam. It's a Upanishad's message. Upanishad's secret, that is. So, Bhagavata Margam, Jnana Margam, Bhakti Margam, in all these things, this principle will come. This Upanishadic principle will come into that. And in the secret of in all these processes, this exists. And to explain that to us properly, that's when you require the spiritual master. Spiritual master. For example, you don't require a spiritual master to give you a form to worship. Is it not? You don't need a spiritual master for that. To give you a form to worship. For example, to tell you that, look, this is the form of God. You worship this form. And to give it to you like that. And to give you some murti. Worship this form. This is God. You don't need a spiritual master for that. What you require a spiritual master is that to show it to you who you are first, your actual identity, who you are, and then take you to that state. What exactly is your state? That is the spiritual master's most difficult responsibility. It's a very high responsibility that is. To show to someone who he is and to take him to that realization. That is what spiritual master is for. Otherwise, look, anybody can do other things, isn't it? This is a difficult job. I mean, difficult thing. Because to do that, first of all, he has to be realized. Otherwise, how can he do that? It's impossible. So, here you can see that like a salagramam is given to a person. And in that salagramam, you are seeing the whole creation. To come to that realization, while you are worshipping that salagramam also, even though it's only a small salagramam, a small stone, salagramam is a small stone, then when you start realizing that stone is this whole creation, that is what will happen at that stage. Sarve hyami vitikana tava sattva dhanno brahma dayo vayami veshana chodvijanda Kshemaya bhudaya utalma sukhaya chasya vikreditam bhagavato ruchiravatarehi sarvehyami vitikaratava sattvadhamno brahmadayo vayamiveshana chodvichanda Kshemaya bhudaya utalma sukhaya chasya vikreditam bhagavato ruchiravatarehi. Saying that Brahma is there, standing there, Lord Shiva is standing there, and Prahlada is glorifying Narasimham. Glorifying Narasimham. All other Devadas are standing there. They are all frightened. Brahma, Shiva, and all other Devadas are frightened. And all those Devadas are all, Prahlada is saying to Narasimham, all those Devadas who are standing there, they all receive their instructions from you. They get instructed from you. And what is the purpose of your appearance here? Only for the sake of giving us happiness and looking into our welfare. Therefore you had come here and you have taken a form and come here in the form of Narasimham, and you had come for our welfare. vikridinam bhagavato rujiravatarehi. Vikridinam bhagavato rujiravatarehi. And therefore, you have taken this sweet form, incarnations like this. For our welfare, you have done this. Prahlada is saying there. So, Prahlada is also, he actually is speaking to that Antaryami, saying with this understanding that Antaryami inside has come as Narasimham. Antaryami inside has come as Narasimham. So he is saying to Narasimham that all these great personalities who are standing there, Brahma, Shiva and others, the other devadas who are present there, they all generally take instructions from you. But why did you come here today in this form? Because you wanted to give us some happiness. For our welfare and for our benefit, you have taken this form. There, he is saying, Sarvehyami vidhigara tava sattvadhamno brahmadayo vayamiveshana chodhijanda kshemaya bhutaya udalma sukhaya cha asya vikridinam bhagavato rujiravadhare. He didn't mention about his father, Hiranyakashipu. He says that this demon whom you have killed, this Hiranyakashipu, this demon whom you have killed, sarvehyami vitikara tava sattvadhamno brahmadayo vayamiveshana chodhvijanda. That Krishna is, Prahlada is saying to Narasimham that please control your anger. Control your anger. Prahlada is saying to Narasimham, please control your anger. Namaste Rudramanyo Ishavayam Anantam. In the Sri Rudram also there is a prayer to Shiva to control the anger. To control the anger, because in order to kill that asura, anger is asura inside. Asura, asuric nature, that is anger, isn't it? So, in order to kill that asuric nature in us, Narasimha Murthy has to get angry. Only when anger comes from Krishna, our anger goes away. Then otherwise this thing called anger will kill us, ourselves, isn't it? So, tad yachamanyam asurascha. See there? Tad yachamanyam asurascha. About his father, he is saying asurascha. He is calling him asura. Didn't say his father. Tad yachamanyam asurascha. Hatastvayadhyam. Modeda sadhu abhi vrishchiga sarpahatya lokascha narubhrudimitam pratiyandi sarve rupam nrsimham vibhayaya janas marandi. So, instead of saying my father, he didn't say my father, he said asura. Why did he say that? Because asuric nature in Hiranyakashipu was there. And in order to kill that asuric nature, Narasimham's anger was necessary to have that. And that was essential. Therefore he is saying, tadyacha manyu asurascha hatastvayadhyā, in order to kill that anger. So, he says here, modeda sadhu abhi vrishchika sarpahatya. For example, if a scorpion or a snake, poisonous snake, sarpam, if it comes to bite and comes on our way, if you kill those, either it's a scorpion or a snake, even sanely people will appreciate that. They don't think bad about it. Modeda sadhu abhi vrishchika sarpahatya. Vrishchika means scorpion and sarpam is snake. So, modeda, sadhu. Sadhus get modam. They get happiness from that when you kill them. Similarly here, this anger, what Hiranyakashipu had towards me and towards the rest of the world, is like a snake. And you have come here and killed that, and nobody will say anything bad about it. I don't say anything bad about it. Prahlada is saying, whatever you have done is the right thing by killing him. Because this anger was destroying Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu's demoniac nature. That is what he is saying here. So, so he says, so instead of him, like for example a scorpion or a snake, what they will do is, they can go and bite somebody, isn't it, and kill others. So instead, if you have beaten them to death and thrown them away, others get pleased by that, by your action. So in the similar way, this Hiranyakashipu, my father, who has created so much distress in this world, which you know what Hiranyakashipu has done, isn't it? Remember what Hiranyakashipu has done? If you go back into what was Hiranyakashipu's administration, if you look at, you will see what he used to do, what all kinds he used to do. Hiranyakashipu's and the demigods are praying to Krishna. Sri Narada Maharshi mentions there that the Hiranyakashipu's administration times, what happened? Then first he did was Jagurun Mahendra Asanamo Jasastitam Vishwavasustumbur Asmadadaya 7:4:14 Gandharva Siddha Shrayostavan Mohor Vidyadara Apsaras Chapandava. Demigods had to leave the heavenly planets and run away from there. Sa eva varna ashram vivikradibir bhuri dakshinehi ijyamano havirbhagam anugrahet svenate jasa akrishnavachyadasya sil saptaddi ibavadi imahi tatha akamaduga dyaustu nana ashchaydi patham nabha ratnagarascha ratna ukham talpatnyascho hurur mibhi charasidat kradakshodram dadikshira amrudodhagam. And goes like that, and you will see this Hiranyakashipu was so powerful, he brought everybody under his control. He was such a personality. When Indra lost his position and he goes to the heavenly planets, and as soon as Indra knew that Hiranyakashipu is coming, he ran away from there with all the other personalities in the heavenly planets. Isn't it? And what happened to them? Idide samyada alpanam 23. Idide samyada alpanam samahidatiyo malaha ubadastru krishigesham vinidra vayubhojanaha. They were wandering around, they had nothing to eat because there was no sacrifices, all stopped. Demigods received from the sacrifices the food. They didn't get anything, so they were hungry, they were wandering around. Teshama virabhudvani aruba mekhaniswanam sannadayandi kukhava sadhunam abhayangari ma bhaishta viruddha shreshta sarvesham badramastuva ma darshanam hi bhudanam sarva shreyo bhavataye jnatamedasya dauralmyam daideya apasadasya cha tasya shandim karishyami kalam taval pratikshada. All they could do was to wait for the time to come. Yada deveshu yada deveshu vedeshu goshu vipreshu sadhushu dharme maija vidvesham sava ashuvinashyadi. Krishna saying that when Hiranyakashipu offends or destroys demigods, vedam, cows, brahmanas, devotees, when he has destroyed all of them, dharme maija vidvesham, and completely destroyed the dharmam in this world, sava ashu vinashyari, everything will be finished at that time. Says Krishna to demigods, Brahma's prayers were there, and the answer was like this. So at that time they said that that's already happened. That was Hiranyakashipu's administration. All these things have already happened. Nobody could execute any spiritual life anymore because Hiranyakashipu banned everything. Hiranyakashipu pete completely ban on everything. Nobody could say anything, nobody could do anything. And it has come to that extent. That is why his mention is there that yada deveshu vedeshu goshu vipreshu sadhushu dharme maija vidvesham sava ashu vinashyadi. All religious principles were thrown away from life. Then Nurvairaya Prashandaya Sasudaya Mahalmani Prakladaya Dadruhi Anishabi Varorchidam. And then Krishna says that Narvairaya Prashandaya Sosudaya Mahalpane Prakladaida Druhe Anishe Bivarorjidam. They said to Brahma says to Krishna that all these things have already happened, what am I supposed to do? Krishna is saying, so be it, but Nurvairaya Prashandaya Sosudaya Mahalpane, that his own son, that Mahalma, who has no enmity towards anyone, who is always in the Shanti state, Prahladaya, when Yada Druhil, when he starts giving him trouble, Yada Druhi Hanishevi Varorjidam, whatever bless or benedictions he had from you previously, it will not be looked at. I will kill him, said Krishna at that time to him. So it is, that was Hiranyakashipu's administration at that time. It was that bad. So you can see here that that is what he is saying here. That verse in the here he says Tadyascha manyu asurascha, that is the 14th verse. Tadyascha manyu asurascha hatastvaya adhya modeda sadhu api vrishika sarpahatyaham lokascha nirubhridimidam pratiyandi sarve rupam narsimham vibhayaya jana smarandi. Then lokascha nirubhridimidam pratiyandi sarve rupam narsimha vibhayaya jana smarandi. That you have done when the situation is like that, what he is saying, Prahlada is saying there, that if a snake or a scorpion causes problems and goes and bites people, it's not good. It should be beaten to death and thrown away from here. When that is, and that will be appreciated by the saintly people. Similarly, my father, who has created all this distress to the whole world, you have killed him. What can I say about that? I can't say it's a wrong thing what you have done. Instead of saying, he's saying, what can I say about it? Lokaschan rupradis ida pratiyandi sarve. Only for the benefit of this world you have done that, and you have done this auspicious thing for the rest of the world. And you are still sitting there with anger. You are still sitting there with this anger. Even though that form is very, very frightening, those who are meditating that form, they will not feel fear. The form is frightening, but if you meditate on Narasimhamurti's form, you will get freedom from fear. Freedom from fear. Rupam, he says there, Lokascha narubhridimite ita pratiyandi sarve rupam narasimham. That rupam narasimham vibhayaya janasmarandi. Vibhayaya means that they will get freedom from fear. Vibhayaya. Freedom from fear, jana smarandi, those who remember that form. So, Narasimhamurti's special blessing that Logaschan Rupurdimidam Pradiyandi Sarve Rupam Narasimham Vibhayaya Jana Smarandi. Vibhaya Jana Smarandi. That special thing with Narasimham's form. Narasimham's special mercy, that is. If we have fear, remembering that form all the time. All the great personalities have done that. They took shelter of that form. That's why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you talk about leaving behind Krishna and Ramachandra, the next important form is Narasimham. Next important form is Narasimham. So, Rupam Narasimha Vibhayaya Janasmarandi. We'll have a short break now.
Cheto darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvapanam Shreyakaidav Chandriga Vidaranam Vidhyavadhu Jeevanam Anandambadi Vardhanam Namrda Swadhanam Sarvapna Subhanam Varam Vijayade Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Namnamagari Bahuda Vijasarva Shakti Tatrarpida Nimida Smaranena Kalam Eda drashita vakruba bhagavan mamapi tubdeiva me drashamiha janinanu ragaha trinara vishuni chena tarorabi sahishuna
Amani nama anadena kirtaniya sadahari Nathanam najanam nasundarim Abhidamba jagadisha kamaye Mama janmani janmani shvare bhavadat Haidogitoye Kingaram patitamam shame bhavambudom Gajastita duli sadrisham vichindaya Nayanam galadashudharaya Gadgadaruddhaya gira Pulakair nijidam kathavapu Tavannama grahane bhavishyati Itam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayitam Shunyayitam jagat sarvam Govinda virahe name Ashleshyava padaradam pinashtumam Adarshanam armahadam karotuva Yatha tadava vidatha tulam pato Alpranamadastuna evana para.
In the Bhagavadam, it is in the 11th canto, 21st chapter, where Krishna has spoken about Vedam. Krishna has spoken about Vedam, Vedic authority. What did he say there? If you will read through those chapter, when you have time, not now, 21st chapter. The whole chapter is Krishna is saying to us, Vedam is the authority. Everything else later. He is saying there, Vedam Brahmalpa Vishayam. 35th verse, 35. Vedam Brahmalpa Vishayam. Trikandam Vishaya Imi. Parokshavadam Krishayam. Paroksham Mamaja Priyam. He is saying the rishis have this habit of speaking things paroksham, indirectly. And I like that, Krishna is saying. Paroksham Mamaja Priyam. Parokshavadam Krishaya. Krishi speaks paroksham and paroksham mamacha priyam. I like that way. What the way? And then if you see what he has to say about the Vedam. Shabda brahma sudurbhodam pranendriyam anomayam anandaparam gambhiram durvigahyam samudravat. He said nobody understands Vedam. Why? Shabda brahmam sudurbhodam. It is most difficult to understand. Nobody can say, Krishna says, who can say that they understand Vedam? Shabdam Brahmam, Sudurbhodam, Pranendriyam Anomayam, Anandavaram, Gambhiram, Durvigahyam, Samudravat. Durvigahyam means difficult to know. Mayoba Brahmhidam Bhumna, Brahmana Ananda Shakthina, Bhudeshu, Ghosharubena, Viseshu, Urnevalakshade. Yet Urna Nabirkhadayar, Urna Muddhamade Mukhal, Akashat, Koshavan, Prano, Manasas, Parsharupina. How Vedam came to this world, that is what he is talking about. Chandomayam, Amrudamayam, Sahasrapadavim Prabhu, Ongaral, Vinjidam, Sparsham, Sparshaswaram, Ushmandam, Stabushidam, Vijitrabhasha, Vidadam, Chandobishadirutare, Ananda Maharam Brahadim Sjatyakshavade Swayam Gayatri Ushnipu Ushniganushtup Chand Brahadi Pantirevaja Trishto Abjagadit Adichando Atya Trishtadi Jagal Viral Kim Vidhate Kimajashte Kimanudya Vigalpayed Ityasya Hrudayam Loge Nanyo Mad Vedakaschana. He is after talking about Vedam. Krishna is saying at the end, Nanyo Mad Vedakaschana. Nobody understands Vedam except me. So from that you can understand what the position Krishna has given to the Vedam, Vedic authority. Listen in. Krishna saying there that ityasya hridayam loke nanyo mal veda kaschana. Except me, nobody understands Vedam. He's saying. And then he's also said in that how, that's when Uddhava asked the question that how this so many different tattvams have come, and Krishna explains all that in the next chapter. But he is saying here, Mam vidatte abhidatte mam vigalpya bohyade tvaham edavan sarva vedartha shabdham astaya mam vidam maya matram anudhyande padushidya prasidadi. We discussed this. We can go back to those chapter when we discuss Ekadasha Skandam. That particular, the verse, chapter 21. So what I'm saying is the authority of the Vedam, nobody is allowed to question. That is already settled. There is no more discussion about that. You may be any great personality in this world, doesn't matter. If you have not accepted the authority of the Vedam, sorry, we'll pay our respects to you, but we can't accept you. Whether even if it is Kapila Maharshi or anybody for that matter, that is the situation. It isn't that understanding that everything is in the Bhagavadam, in the Bhagavad Gita, everywhere. That principles, what is in the Vedam, that holds good forever. It never changes. So, coming back to this, we were discussing that that Prahlada is saying there in verse 14, tad yachcha manyu asurascha tadastvayadhyaham, then modeda sadhu abhi vrishika sarpahatya lokascha nirubhridimidam pratiyandi sarve rupam narasimham vibhayaya janas marandi. Devotees, they pray to Narasimhamurti, Narasimham, when they have fear inside, when you are frightened. Lokascha nirubhridimidam pratiyandi sarve rupam narasimham vibhayaya jana smarandi. That is the important thing there. That that those who are meditating on that form of Narasimham, Rubam, that form, Narasimham, Vibhayaya Janas Marandi, takes away all their fear from inside. All their fear from inside. All Acharyas have had experience of Narasimham at some time or the other. In Acharya Swamiji's life, for example, he had a disciple by name Padmapada. This Padmapada, before he met Acharya Swamiji, he was a devotee of Narasimhamurti. He worshipped Narasimham. Not only that, he worshipped Narasimham. Narasimha appeared to him. That means his Narasimha Upasana became perfect. And it is after this incident, after Narasimhamurti gave him this mercy, and gave him the, that means in Narasimha Upasana, if you become perfect, what will happen? Once Narasimhamurti has given you that shelter, then you are fearless then after that. You don't have to be frightened about anything. You will be protected under all circumstances, that's guaranteed. If Narasimhamurti is pleased with your seva or worship. So, it is after that, that means he was already had this Narasimhamurti's blessings. It is after that he meets up with Shankaracharya later. Acharya Swamiji, he met later after this incident, right? So, it is like this. Suppose after realization, self-realization, suppose you have done some upasana before in your life earlier, sadhana or upasana. That upasana samskar will still be there in you. You see, suppose you have he met Acharya and realized the truth from Acharya. Acharya Swamiji gave him, initiated him and gave this Brahman realization to him. To who? Padmapada. Padmapada, because he was, Acharya Swamiji was realized, he gave that realization to Padmapada. But all this happened after the Narasimha Upasana. He, Padmapada worshipped Narasimham before. Narasimham appeared to him and gave this protection to him, guaranteed protection all the time. It is after he met Shankaracharya, Acharya Swamiji, and then this incident happened. So it is at that, so what will happen now is that even though he realized the truth, Aham Brahmasmi, later, whatever upasana he has performed prior to meeting Acharya Swamiji, that samskaram won't go away from inside easily. It will still be there in him. And at some point in time it will come out.
it will come out again. So all the jnanis, you will observe this, they may have performed sadhana before they realize the truth. They realize the truth either in this lifetime or in the previous lifetime. So, for example, you look at Vivekananda, you look at Ramana Maharshi and others also. Upasanam vina jnanam, says Maharshi in the Upadesha Saram, he says there. Then, in this lifetime, he hasn't done any upasana. He hasn't done much of a upasana. But he had a tremendous devotion, bhakti towards Lord Shiva and Arunachalam. So, why there is a speciality? Because jnanis are not supposed to have that speciality in anything. But they still will carry that samskaram from a previous life. It will still be there inside. That is why in this lifetime, he felt a natural attraction for Arunachalam and Shiva. Arunachalam and Shiva. Arunachala Shiva, he sings a famous song from that. So previous lives, vasanas like that, that is called upasana vasana. Vasana that's come from the upasana. That vasana won't go. That will remain still. Suppose we have worshipped Krishna now, and for this whole lifetime, chanted Hare Krishna, and served Krishna, and got attached to Krishna. That vasana is never possible to take it away from you. Even if you have realized the truth at some point, and become self-realized, this attachment to Krishna and to Krishna consciousness won't go. It will still remain like that. So, the upasana is like that. Upasana's purnatum. And particularly in his case, he already had received the mercy directly from Narasimha. So that was there in him. But you won't know that in this lifetime when you see him. When you see these personalities, Vivekananda was a great devotee of Shiva. And that Shiva attachment to Shiva was there in this life also here. Even though he was a jnani, he was a realized, and many things he spoke about, yoga and all that, attachment to Shiva was there in him from previous lifetimes. It has followed him in this lifetime. So, upasana samskaram was there in them. Similarly, in Padmapada also, that Narasimha upasana he has conducted before, therefore that upasana samskaram was in him. In one instance, what happened was, Acharya Swamiji was in Ujjain. He was in Ujjain, and there was a group of people there called Kapaligas. Kapaliga. At that time, there were 72 different religions in India. 72 different religions in India. And Kapaligas were one of them. And 72 different religions were there at that time. And even now, if you ask how many religions are in India, you can't get an answer. That's how India is. It's so many religions, so many groups, so many ideologies, philosophies, everything. So, for everyone, there is a religion there. Person by person, if you take. Once what happened was, Vivekananda went to America, right? This is in his memoirs. If you read, you will see. So, he was invited to Chicago for the Parliament of Religions, and he was speaking there. So, when he spoke about Karma Yogam, another day he spoke about Jnana Yogam, another day he spoke about Bhakti Yogam, and he was supposed to be representing the Vedic tradition also there. So, other people were there from other religious groups, from Christianity, Islam, and many other, all kinds of religions were represented in this big thing, World Religion of Parliament of Religions. So they were all speaking there, and they all come and spoke based on their shastram, whatever that was. But when Vivekananda spoke, he didn't speak like that. He said, in the Vedic tradition, this exists. And he spoke about very elaborately and very eloquently about Jnana Yogam. And then when his turn came, he spoke about Bhakti Yogam in an elegant way. Another day he spoke about Karma Yogam. So one person who was very seriously observing him, after all this, he went up to him. He says to him, actually, what is your religion actually? He said, you're talking one day one thing, another day another thing, and a third day something else. He said to him, he couldn't accommodate everything. That's in one tradition, all these things can exist in this way. He couldn't, because they are used to having one book and one God and everything in that way. But whereas for us it is not so. In the Vedic system it is different. So he said this to him, that why is this like this? He said, and then that man says to Vivekananda that, I have my own philosophy, he said. And I would like to talk about that, he said. So Vivekananda says to him, that I don't know here whether you will get any followers, but you come to India, he said. There are a lot of people who are following what I have spoken, they're following that, and there are people who are following what others have spoken here, and still there are some more people there, isn't it? They will listen to you, he said. This is India. So you can see here that Vedic philosophy, when you keep saying Vedic philosophy, what is Vedic philosophy? Vedic philosophy, the authority is like this. That so here, why I was saying that was, at Acharya Swami's time, there were 72 different religions in India existing at that time. And every single one has a religion today. If you go, they'll say also to you that I don't believe in your philosophy, mine is philosophy is like this. And he will concoct something and bring it over. So these Kapaliyas, they worshipped a form called Ugra Bhairava. Ugra Bhairava was their deity. And they worship Ugra Bhairava in the cemetery. It's one group like that. And they came, Acharya Swamiji was in Ujjain, and they came to him and started discussing with him this philosophy, their philosophy, whatever it is. And among them, there was one person who had a little bit siddhis. Siddhis means some yogic siddhis with them. And he decided to kill Acharya Swamiji. And they decided to, because he was presenting the pure Vedic philosophy to the public and establishing the authority of the Vedam, that they couldn't accept that. So this, among them, this one who had, his was very old as well, and he also had the same name as the deity, Ugra Bhairava. So that Ugra Bhairava comes to Acharya and says to him, as though he couldn't do anything with him, because he was so much popular at that time. Acharya, the local king, was in his favor, everything. So what he did was, he came to Acharya Swamiji and paid his obeisances, and in a very surrendered way told him, please instruct me in the Vedic traditions, he said. And saying all these things, externally he was trying to show that I am living with you as your disciple and serving you. In that way he stayed with him for quite some time. But in the meanwhile he was asking for making the plot to kill Acharya and looking for help from his followers who were in that tradition, Kapaliya traditions. So one day, Acharya Swamiji was sitting alone. So he went up to him and says to him that, I am very old now. He was probably 75, 80 years old. And I have done a lot of sadhana in these Kapaliya traditions. And I have a difficulty to get rid of that samskaram from me inside. And I have this vasana in me very, very strong, he said. What is I'm not getting able to advance in my path because of this strong vasana inside. Therefore, you have to bless me, he said. And our Shastram says to us that we have to kill someone who is learned and realized. Highly learned and highly realized. If we can cut his head and offer it to Ugra Bhairava in the sacrifice, then I will go personally to the world of Ugra Bhairava's world. It is somewhere in Kailasam. Lord Shiva's associate is Ugra Bhairava. So Ugra Bhairava has spoken like this, or I would like to have it. When he mentioned that, Acharya Swamiji understood what he was coming with, idea, the plan. So he says to him, because I have been staying with you for so many months, I realize that you are an all-knowing person, Sarvajna you are. And
And not only that, by hearing him, he says to Acharya that you have no attachment to your body anyway, isn't it? And you, that is your sadhana, no attachment to the body under any circumstances. And you have no identification with the body, and with this body is not of much use to you either. So therefore, paryopakarartham idam shariram, sacrifice your body for others' benefit. In this way he started talking to him. Therefore, please bless me and give me your body. For this, he said. He says, I have a lot of hesitation to ask this, but I have no other way. This is our Shastram is teaching me like this, he said. Acharya didn't say any word. He sat peacefully there. He is saying that, oh, I was thinking that, he said, with this body is of no use to anybody. At least you found some utility with my body. That's nice, he says to him. But one thing he said, if I come with you now, and my disciples are there, a few of these people there, and the king also knows that I am here, and the king has traveled with Acharya many times, so I would like to go to a place where there is nobody, and nobody should know about our plan, that if you want to take my head off, I don't have any problem, but nobody should know about it. If they come to know, they'll give you trouble. They won't let you go away from here. So you shouldn't get into trouble, he says to him. And I'm not concerned about myself, but I'm concerned about you, he said. And so therefore, if you can suggest to me a place where I could come, where there nobody will get involved, nobody will know about it, then I'll come there. So eventually, this Kapaliya, Ugrabhairava, he has found a place for that, suitable place for that. And the time was decided next day in the night, asking Acharya to come there. And so at that day, that night, Acharya Swamiji went there with him to that isolated spot. And Ugrabhairava was very happy that he was able to do what he wanted to do, isn't it? So, but when Ugrabhairava saw Acharya, in his heart a certain bhakti developed in the heart. That up to the time when this was happening, there was a selfishness motive inside. But when that time came to kill Acharya Swamiji, some bhakti came in the heart and he felt that it is not proper for me to do that. So that experience is due to his association, that presence of Acharya Swamiji. His mind is slowly getting affected. So that state actually is only Brahmajnanis, Brahman realized people, they don't have any identification with the body, isn't it? There is no ego, there is no identification with the body. That is his state. But still, he took him there. And when they got there, there were a lot of seats were arranged. And many of their people, leaders, they were all sitting there. And they have arranged already everything to cut the Acharya's head. Everything was arranged and Acharya Swamiji went and sat there. The seat was offered to him, sit there to cut the... There is a lot of ceremonies involved with that, rituals involved. And Acharya Swamiji sat there in the samadhi state. And pratyagatma swarupam, that is what they are called. Pratyagatma swarupam means that knowing yourself who you are, without any connection with the body, stay in that state. So, Madhaviya Shankara Vijayam, there is a book, that's where you can read this. So, that means he is not identifying with the body. He is keeping his body separately. And those who say in the Upanishads that I am not this body, in that state he is situated there. He is sitting there in that state. You have to remember, Acharya Swamiji has completely ground this Upanishads and drunk that. To that extent he is. So that was that state which is mentioned in the Ishopanishad. If you look into the mantras 6 and 7, that is that state. What he is saying there, 6 and 7. You will see it is an interesting mantra. Yastu, sixth one. Yastu sarvani bhutani atmani eva anupashyati sarva bhudeshu chalpmanam tato na vijugupsade. That is 6. And the seventh one,
is Yasmin Sarvani Bhudani Atmaiva Bhut Vijanata Tatrako Moha Kashokaha Ekatvam Anipashyata. This state. The first one is Sarva Bhudeshu Chalpmanam. Okay. Yastu Sarvani Bhudani Atmani Eva Anipashyati. He who systematically sees everything in relation to the Krishna, who see all living entities as his parts and parcels. Actually, to see there, Estu Sarvani Bhudani Atmanyevanu Pashyati. He is seeing there in all living entities himself as present in there. Sarvani Bhudani Atmani Eva Anupashyati. As Atma present in everyone as one. Sarva Bhudeshu Chalpmanam Tato Na Vijugupsade. All living entities is present in me. I am present in all the living entities. That realization. That is that sixth verse. All living entities are present in me. I am present in all the living entities. See, Estu Sarvani Bhudani Atmani Eva Anupashyati. Sarva Bhudeshu Cha Atmanam Tato Na Vijugupsade. And never hates anything or any being. One who has come to that realization. Never hates or hates anything or any being. And the seventh mantra, if you look, Yasmin Sarvani Bhutani Atmaiva Bhut Vijanata Tatrako Moha Kashokaha Ekatvam Anupashyati. Ekatvam Anupashyati. One whose Yatra Sarvani Bhutani Atmaiva Bhut Vijanata. In all living entities, when you realize that there is only Atma present, there is nothing else, there will be no hankering, no lamentation. Tatra ko mohaha ka shokaha ekatvam anupashyada. You are seeing the oneness of the jiva and antaryami. There is only one thing that exists. Ekatvam anupashyada. That is the truth. So these two verses, in practice you could see at that time in Acharya, when he was sitting there, in him you could observe these two things. That means living, all living beings are in me, and I am present in all the living beings. Same thing what Shukha Brahmarshi says in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, isn't it? So these two mantras, if you look these two mantras, you know how it is spoken. One is in the Uthana Dasha, the other one is in the Samadhi Dasha. Uthana Dasha means that you are on the journey towards realization. The first one is like that. The other one is Samadhi Dasha. That is when you realize these two. One is called Uthana Dasha, the other one is called Samadhi Dasha. Uthana Dasha means the state you are progressing. In that progression path, you are experiencing that. Uthana Dasha. And the sixth mantra. The seventh mantra is in the after realization. In the Samadhi state you are experiencing that. So, one, in your journey, in spiritual life, when you are advancing, you are seeing this yourself in everybody, everybody in you. That one. And the seventh mantra is saying, after the realization that you are situated in that state, and ekattu manipashari, there is only one, there is not many. In the sixth mantra there is many, but in the seventh mantra there is not many. In the sixth mantra you are there, others are there. In the seventh mantra only you are there, others don't exist anymore. There is only one, either you or they, whichever way you want to call it. That's why it's called, these two mantras comes in two different stages. One in the Uthana Dasha, other one in the Samadhi Dasha. So everything is Atma, everything is soul, isn't it? So he is not seeing anymore anything, everything as Atma. Instead he is situated as Atma. There's a little difference there. When he is seeing everything as Atma, then he has not become Atma yet. But here, instead of, not only that he is seeing everything as Atma, he has become Atma. He has become Atma. That is why it said Pratyagatma Swarupam. That is what it is called. Pratyagatma Swarupam, Chit Swarupam, or Samadhi state, he is sitting there. What does that mean? It means that he has already left the body. Ajahn Swamiji has left the body. He has gone away. But this body,
But Krishna's decision was something different. He wanted that the body should remain here. So what happened? In that situation, because only if Krishna decides that the body has to go, the body will go. Otherwise it won't go. So if Krishna wants, he can protect the body, even in that state. Ajani Swami, he has left the body and gone. But there is nothing for him to become. And in that case, at that situation, Padmavada, who has performed this upasana before, Narasimha upasana and realized before, he was terribly attached to Ajani Swamiji. He had a lot of devotion towards him, and he was far away from here, from this spot. Somewhere else, far away, he was present, Padmavada. And in Padmavada's heart, suddenly he experienced a immediate shake inside, or a terror inside. Something is going to happen to Acharya Swamiji. This thought came to Padmavada's heart. Somewhere he experienced that something is going to happen to him. So, just like Prahlada was sitting there and speaking all this, Acharya Swamiji was saying the same thing and he was moving. So here, what happened was, for Prahlada, Narasimham came from the pillar. For Acharya Swamiji, Narasimha came from Padmavada. From inside Padmavada he came. And that is the only difference. Narasimham can come from anywhere. He can come from somebody's heart. He can come from the pillar. He can come from anywhere. So at that point, when this incident was happening, Padmavada, suddenly his Purva Samskaram, that means this Upasana Samskaram by worshipping Narasimham, that suddenly came back in him. And at that point, all the upasana he has performed for Narasimha Murti before happened inside, and suddenly woke up, and before Padmavada knew, he was there in front of Acharya Swamiji with Narasimha Murti. Narasimham appeared there, and Narasimham roared as he did in the case of Hiranyakashipu also. So suddenly Padmavada was next to Acharya Swamiji standing there, who is in the samadhi state. He's not in the body anymore. And so they were, Ugra Bhairava and others were standing there with the sword to cut his throat. So immediately he, Padmavada, pulled that sword and cut his head. Narasimham worked through Padmavada, did the job. And he died. Ugra Bhairava died there. When you read that description, it is exactly very similar to Jatabharata protected by Bhadragali. You remember Bharata's story in the fifth canto, how Jatabharata was protected by Bhadragali. In a similar way, through Padmavada, Narasimha Murti operated and protected Acharya Swamiji from Ugra Bhairava. This incident happened in Ujjain. And it is mentioned in all Shankaravijayams, all the books related to his life in this world. So a very similar story like Jatabharata and Bhadragali. So whether it is Narasimham or whether it is Bhadragali, no matter. Only thing what we have to understand is, if Krishna wants to protect somebody, he will take a form, some raudram. Raudra means a very fearful and frightening form. It could be Bhadragali, it could be Narasimham. It doesn't matter. For Jatabharata, Krishna took the Bhadragali form. For Acharya Swamiji, Krishna took the Narasimha Murti's form. Prahlada, Krishna took Narasimham's form. Isn't it? So, wherever, whenever necessary, that terrible form can come. So, it is at that time, after this incident, Acharya Swamiji wrote this famous song called Lakshmi Narasimha Stotra. It was written in Ujjain at that time. It is there, and it is even famous Narasimha Murti temples, they recite this prayer. Srimal Payo Nithi Niketana Chakrapani. There is about 10 or 12 verses. You can see that. It is in the internet also. If you want to read the verses and the translation, everything. So, Lakshmi Narasimha Mama Dehi Karavalambam. That is how that song finishes. Every verse finishes like that. Lakshmi Narasimha Mama Dehi Karavalambam. That Lakshmi and Narasimha Murti is my shelter. I depend on them for my shelter. So, just like Prahlada surrendered to Narasimham, in a similar way, that this sotram, this song is written by Narasimha Acharya Swamiji also. Rubam Narasimha, Acharya Swamiji says, Lakshmi Narasimha Mama Dehi Karavalambam. Prahlada says, Rubam Narasimha Janayai Janasmarandi. Rubam Narasimha Vibhayaya Janasmarandi. Very close connections with the both the songs they wrote. So, Lakshmi Narasimha Mama Dehi Karavalambam says Acharya, and Rubam Narasimha Vibhayaya Janasmarandi says Prahlada. Both of them are saying the same thing, that for fear, freedom from fear and protection, Narasimham, shelter of Narasimham. And that tradition continued since then. It's like this in all the famous mutts, whether it is Shankaracharya's tradition, Ramanuja's tradition, or Vishnu Swami's tradition, any tradition, Narasimham worship has continued since then. So, Prahlada is saying here, to get rid of the fear from inside, people glorify you, says to Narasimham. So, at that time, Narasimha Murthy asked to Prahlada, are you frightened seeing me then? When this happened, he says, are you frightened of me? He says, and because the form was really frightening, who? Narasimha's form was really frightening, he says. And that description is there in several Bhagavatam also, there is that description. Melpathur mentions that in the Narayaniyam also, he mentions that form of Narasimha's form, he says it is very so frightening. Krishna was sitting in the front when Melpathu wrote that verse. And when he said that to Krishna, he says, Krishna says, I got frightened. He says to Melpathu, after hearing that description of Narasimha, Krishna says, I am only a little boy. By your description, I am getting frightened, he said to him. That is the powerful description there. If you look at, Melpathu mentions this. Like this, you can read that. This is how Melpathu spoken about it to Krishna. Tapta swarna suvarna ghurnam dadhi rukshaksham sada kesaram proktamba pranikumbijam vidabaram aho jiyatva vedam vabhum vyatavyatva mahadhari sakamukham khalgogra valgan maha jihva nirgamadrashyamana sumaha damshtra yugo dhamaram. About man-lion, the Swarupam of Narasimham, is saying, Tapta Swarna Suvarna Ghurna Dadi Rukshaksham Sada Kesaram. Tapta Swarna means gold that is being melted. Tapta Swarna Suvarna. Tapta Swarna Suvarna Ghurna Dadi Rukshaksham Sada Kesaram. So, when the gold is melted, and when it is red hot, if you look at it, that color of the eye, because of the anger inside, Narasimham's anger, Rukshaksham Sada Kesaram. And they were shining like molten gold. And this, you know, the lines of thought, their mane, isn't it? What they call the mane? It's flying all over. Narasimham half is Simham, isn't it? Line. So this part is all Simham. Half the part is human form. Half the part is lion. So this part is, the mane is all flying in the, because of the anger, because of the anger inside. Rucha Acham. Eyes are like the gold that is melted, and how hot and red it looks, similarly the eyes. Then, Proktamba Pranikumbidambara Maho Jiyata Vedam Babu. And all his hair is flowing in, Narasimha's hair is flowing in different directions, matted locks, with the wide open mouth resembling the enormous cave, it's like ready to swallow everybody in that way. Proktam pratnikumbidambaram nikumbidambaram aho jiyata vedam vabo vyaptam vyata vyapta mahadari sakamukham ghalgogra valgan mahajihwa nirgama drishyamana sumaha dhamstra yugor damaram. And the sword is the tongue that was coming out, lion's tongue, like a sword it was ready to kill anyone. And while rolling out, on either side, when you look at him, jihva nargama drishyamana sumaha damstra yugo damaram. Damstra, they say it's called a molar. Damstra means, you know that, I think it is that teeth which is, lions have got the two on either side, when they rip you apart with that, isn't it? So strong they are, the lions. So that is what he is saying here. Damstra yugo damaram. So this way, when it was spoken that when they saw this, that form, Narasimha's form, all the demigods got very frightened. Demigods got very frightened, including Mahalakshmi. She got so frightened seeing this form, and all of them said, "We won't go anywhere closer." First of all, he's so angry. And then that form like this. And the anger is manifesting like this, and he's roaring as well. Brahma says to others, you go. Everybody is saying to each other, why don't you go? Brahma is saying to others. Mahalakshmi says, no, you are our leader, you should go. Like this, they were all talking to each other, but nobody has got the guts to go anywhere nearby. And Prahlada says that, Prahlada says to Narasimha that will anybody get frightened seeing this form? Prahlada is making it like light. They are all frightened, but I'm not frightened, he says. Will anybody get frightened seeing this form? Prahlada is playing it very cool. He's saying, what is there to be so much frightened about that? Because anybody may get frightened, but I'm not frightened, Prahlada says. Why? I'm frightened about something else. That's why. Much worse than this, I'm frightened about. This form and all don't frighten me, he says. That is that verse you can see. Next verse, if you look. Why? Prahlada is saying, Narasimha is not frightening me, but what he says in the next verse, that frightens me. Naham bibhe majidate di bhayana kasya jihvarka netra bhrugudira sabhogradam shtral andra sraja kshataja kesara shankha karna narkhrada bida digibhadhari vinna kagrad. Prahlada is saying that your form, okay, Brahma is frightened, Shiva is frightened, Lakshmi Devi is frightened, but I am not frightened. It's not something important for me. But I have something bigger than this I am frightened about. What is that? That verse. Na aham bibhedi ajida te adi bhayanakasya jihvarka netra bhrugudi rasabhogradam shral andra sraja kshataja kesara shankha karna
That is my fear, he says. What is he saying there? He's saying, Prahlada is saying there, that he is, Narasimham is roaring there at that time. And Prahlada is not frightened. He is playing like a child in front of him, not at all concerned about it. He says, I have heard much bigger roaring than this, he's saying to Narasimham. And I have seen a form much more powerful and overpowering and frightening than this. And I won't get frightened by seeing this. Prahlada is saying, Naham bibheri ajida te bhayanagasya jihva arka netra brugudi rasabhogra dhamstral. Your dhamstra, your rasana, jihva, all these things don't frighten me. He is saying to him that then Andrasrajakshadajakesarashankakarna. His own father's intestines is all been pulled out and it is in his hands. Whose hands? Narasimham's hands. All the intestines are in the hand. Blood is everywhere. Inside the stomach, everything has been taken out. And he's sitting like this and Prahlada is saying, I'm not frightened. That's Prahlada. Andrasrajakshadaja kesara shankakarna nirkhrada bheeda didigba naribhinnaka graal. He says, Andrasrajakshadaja kesara shankakarna nirkhrada bheeda didigba naribhinnaka graal. He says that your roaring not worries me. I don't think I'll get frightened by your roaring. Because others do not know you, therefore they are frightened about you. But I'm not frightened. In one instance, in this Narasimham's role, people have played in the, not now, in the olden times also, it is a important role in the temple arts in various places. One instance, when they were reading, Narasimham appeared on the scene about this Narasimhavadaram in the Srimad Bhagavatam, a famous speaker. He was reading Narasimhavadaram. At that time, Narasimham appeared on the scene. It was so fascinating that all the people ran away from there. All the people, after seeing that form, got so frightened, they ran away from there. So, in that instance, when this Narasimhavadaram was presented, when it was read from Srimad Bhagavatam, when this person was appeared, it was an arranged program in the sense that, like different, for example, in the olden times, not now anymore, people don't have that, that style has changed. In the olden times, when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, when different incarnations come, fish, tortoise, boar, and Narasimham, Vamanam, Parashuram, Sriram, Krishna, when they all appear in the, when their appearances come in the Srimad Bhagavatam, somebody will dress up and come there on the stage so that everybody has a darshanam of that form. Since that's gone now, because people have become more lazy and also not serious about Bhagavatam to that extent. So that people have left that. That was all existed at one time. It was a very much a practice in the olden times. So in this situation what happened was, somebody has dressed up and came like Narasimham. People got frightened and they were ran away from there. But the son of the person who dressed up like Narasimham, he was in the audience. He was in the audience. And when he saw that his dad has come dressed up as Narasimham, he went up to him straight away and sat on his lap. He jumped on his lap. Similarly, here, Prahlada was not frightened. Why?
Because Prahlada says, you can do any dress you want, but I know who is inside. That confidence, that realization. You see, this is the difference between Prahlada and others. Prahlada knew who it is. Narasimham is only a dress outside. But inside that sweet Krishna's form, Prahlada knows very well. So Prahlada says to Narasimham, I am not frightened. You can take any dress you want. Just like that child came and jumped into dad's lap. Because he knew who it is. Others didn't know who it was. And the dress was so good. He dressed up so well and he rode so well. People in the audience got frightened seeing that something. And also it is the capacity of the audience who are so serious listeners. And the speaker also spoke in such a way that it affected them to that extent. Suddenly woke up and ran away from there. And Prahlada says that you can dress anything you want. Roar any way you like it, but it will not affect me. And you can act as much terrorizing way, in the most frightening way you can behave here, but why should I get frightened of you? He is saying to Narasimha. And the same thing you will see in the Jadabharata sat there and told Bhadrakali, why should I be frightened of you? You are Sachidananda Swarupini. Inside you, who is there? This is only a dress outside. When they look at Bhadrakali, Bhadrakali's dress you have seen in the fifth canto, isn't it? She had 10 hands. In each hand, she had this skull. She is carrying one skull in each hand. And then she has got her weapons also. And she is playing with the people whom she has killed, with their heads. Like football, she is kicking them. All that. And Jadabharata, our Bharata, Bharata Yogeshwara, he is sitting there and he is just looking at it, completely unaffected and untouched by anything what's happening in the scene. Why is it like that? Because Jadabharata knows who she is. The dress is not bothering him, external appearance. And if you look at her, she has got a garland made of skulls, and all her ornaments in the ears and everything is from human body, different things. She is dressed. And the whole tongue is coming out, isn't it? If you look at the picture in the fifth canto, you can see the devotees have drawn a beautiful picture of that. So, and the whole hair is all left loose, and eyes are all very reddish. And when you see that form, it is a really frightening scenario. But Jadabharata is sitting there very cool, completely unaffected, that this form come and go, so what? That's his mood. So that is the same situation here. Prahlada is doing the same thing. Narasimham or Bhadrakali or any form, what does it matter? If you know the person inside who is there, and if you have a relationship with that person, then these forms don't matter at all. So that is what has happened here. He says that I am not frightened. You can do whatever you want. So devotees have like this in different states when they had to relate with Krishna in this way, in different forms. Sometimes in a frightening form they had to relate with Krishna. It's not always you have that sweet Krishna, what we talk about with the butter in the hand and flute in the hand. You may not get that opportunity to relate with Krishna in that way. Sometimes you have to face Krishna in this way also. This is also Krishna in that form. So sometimes he is very sweet, sometimes he is not that sweet when he comes as Narasimham or Bhadrakali or any other form for that matter. So Acharya Swamiji also says this to Shiva. He says to him, I have worshipped you, so much I have done to please you. Dhyana, meditation, samadhi, offering the flowers, chanted Sri Rudram prayers, Purusha Suktam prayers, everything I have chanted to please you. But there is no movement from you. You are not responding at all. He is taking as a normal devotee. He is showing to us how to build that relationship with Krishna or with Shiva. In other words, he is saying, I have done all these things, but from your side, there is no reaction. There is no response coming from your side. And one of your devotees is saying that he throws stones at you because you are not responding to him. So finally he decided to throw stones there. Another person is referring to Arjuna. He says, with his bow he beat you into your head and broke your skull. Shiva did this. Kirata Arjuniyam, if you read in the Mahabharatam, Arjuna was Shiva's devotee. So in one instance, Arjuna took the bow and smashed Shiva's. This is when Shiva and Parvati were hunting in the forest as a hunter and huntress. They were in the forest hunting. So they shot an arrow and an animal was killed, boar I think. And Arjuna also shot an arrow and boar was killed. So when the boar killed, Arjuna went to and claimed for the boar. Shiva said no, she was in the hunter. This was a deliberately planned program from to please Arjuna. Shiva and Parvati took that dress. And they met up with, and then they started arguing about the dead animal, who should have it. Both are hunters, isn't it? So the argument became very strong. Arjuna took the bow and smashed Shiva's head. Head got broken into two. It got broken into two. So, and at that time, Shiva manifested. That hunter form he gave up and manifested Shiva. And Sri Parvati says to Shiva, bless him now. And Sri Parvati was blessed Shiva, and then Sri Parvati and Shiva, both of them blessed Arjuna at that time. So, in this way, devotees have done different things. Arjuna has done like this. Then Kanapanayana, Shiva's devotee, if you see the way he has worshipped, his relationship with this very amazing relationship that was. He was one of the 64 Nayanas. So what Acharya is saying here is that, do I have to do something like that so that you will respond to me? They have all done this one time or the other, but do I have to do something like that in order that you will show some mercy towards me? Because you are sitting there like a stone. I am doing day after day chanting Purusha Suktam, Sri Rudram, Chamakam, everything to please you, and deity, collecting flowers, offering different things after preparing them, and in dhyanam, samadhi, in every possible way I am trying to please you. But why there is no response? He is asking. Do I have to do like the way Arjuna has done and others have done, to fight with you so that you will become a little angry and start showing some reaction to me? He says. So like that it goes. We will continue tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.